Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
The internet is full of half-truths and all-out lies. We've all seen them, and many people on social media complaining about it. Here's your chance to show and prove. WorldAfropedia.com is a black-owned and operated encyclopedia. There are several thousand articles, but we need help. We can't uncover all the truth ourselves. So please, join us and become a writer, editor, or blogger for WorldAfropedia.com today. Every little bit counts. We owe it to the future generations to put the truth out there. Visit WorldAfropedia.com, the African-centered encyclopedia, a global database of African knowledge for the purpose of bringing about global African wisdom and understanding. WorldAfropedia.com.
When I was 22 years old, I had an experience that a lot of women will recognize. I had been promised a job for the next year, all hired and set to go. And then when they realized that I was pregnant, the job was given to someone else.
Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren spoke up this week about her experience with pregnancy discrimination. She says she lost a teaching job in the 1970s because she was visibly pregnant. And while that was decades ago, pregnancy discrimination is still widespread today and can take much more subtle, insidious forms in the workplace, like being passed over for big projects or promotions. And you told us about your experiences.
My name is Anna, and I'm calling from Canby, Indiana. I have been told by a manager that I was not being moved to a position where I would make more money because I was, quote, leaving soon. When I worked at an OBGYN, I saw patient after patient be slowly bullied into quitting their jobs. Anyone who says this isn't happening in the 21st century is just plain wrong.
My name is Denise, and I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky. I did not face discrimination. However, my daughter did. She worked at a conveyor company in Louisville, and she had very bad morning sickness while she was pregnant, and she would be sick on her way to work, and she was late a lot, and she got wrote up while there were guys there that were late all the time and were never written up.
Hi, I'm Crystal from St. Petersburg, Florida. Yes, I have been discriminated at work because I was pregnant. I was working 62 hours a week, and when I complained, I was told I shouldn't have gotten pregnant. The stress led me to a premature birth at 27 weeks. My baby eventually died at the age of 11 months old as a result of the complications of being born so early.
Thanks for sharing your stories, and there's more of them up on the podcast version of the show. And remember, you can always call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm going to talk now to Joan C. Williams about the legal history surrounding pregnancy discrimination and what's being done today to protect pregnant workers. Joan is the director of the Center for Work-Life Law and a professor at the University of California Hastings College of Law. Joan, thanks for being with us.
Delighted to be back, Tanzina.
So Congress passed the Pregnancy Discrimination Act in 1978. What did that do?
Well, Title VII, the basic anti-discrimination statute, was passed in 1964. And then courts, in their wisdom, decided that discriminating against someone based on pregnancy was not discriminating against someone based on sex, which on its face is ridiculous. And that's what Congress said in 1978 in the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, which said that discriminating against someone based on pregnancy or related medical conditions is sex discrimination.
So this act was passed in 1978, and yet complaints to the EEOC, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, about pregnancy discrimination are reportedly at an all-time high. Nearly 31,000 charges were filed between 2010 and 2015. Why is that, given that we have this act?
Really, it goes back to how we define the ideal worker. We define the ideal worker as someone who starts to work in early adulthood and works full-time, full force for 40 years straight, needing no time off for childbirth or child-rearing. You know, who does that describe? It describes a man. And so we, in an informal but very powerful way, still define the ideal worker as someone who never gets pregnant. And so when a worker gets pregnant, often the response of the employer is, why are you making me deal with your private issue? Their response, for example, is very different when someone has a heart attack. When a worker has a heart attack, it's like, oh my goodness, this could happen to anyone. You know, hiring people who have heart attacks is a cost of hiring a workforce. But somehow hiring a worker who gets pregnant is an unseemly intrusion into being an ideal worker.
Let's talk a little bit here, Joan, about what this discrimination looks like, because there's obvious and overt discrimination, which we heard some of our callers describe earlier, and then there's subtle discrimination. Talk a little bit about how employers sideline pregnant women today.
There's a class structure to pregnancy discrimination like anything else. One story we didn't hear, but it's very common among low-wage workers, is that you tell your employer you're pregnant and you're fired 15 minutes later. Often there is nothing subtle about it. It is very, very clear what's going on. We also heard the key way that pregnancy discrimination occurs for women in blue-collar jobs, and often also in low-wage jobs, by the way, which is that when a woman is pregnant, often she needs very simple accommodations. For example, her doctor says she can't stand up for 8 hours in a row, and she's a cashier, so she needs a stool. Just very, very simple. But what employers often do is, although they're very flexible in giving accommodations to everybody else for every other reason, they refuse these simple accommodations for women. So you heard the story, for example, of the woman who was late because of morning sickness being written up for every millisecond she was late, but men weren't. That's also a very common pattern. That's called pregnancy accommodations.
What exactly does one do when they think they're being discriminated against?
If a woman thinks she's being discriminated against because of pregnancy, the first thing to do is to figure out whether she's just being treated differently because she is pregnant. If she is, that itself is sex discrimination. So you should start carefully writing up in detail specific instances of how you were treated differently because you were pregnant. And then call a hotline, 415-703-8276, or consult a lawyer. It's important to talk to a lawyer even if you don't want to sue, because a lawyer can often help you navigate the situation in a way that's going to get where you want to. And for example, on our hotline, that's one of the things we do. It's not just if you want to sue, it's if you want to figure out how to get to where you want to get to. If a woman isn't being given an accommodation, for example, if she's not given a bulletproof vest that can fit around a pregnant woman, and everybody else is being given bulletproof vests that fit them, then it's important, if you want an accommodation, to look around and kind of notice who else has accommodations.
We know that infant and maternal mortality rates are different for women of color in this country, specifically Black women. I know you've studied the impact of workplace discrimination on women of color more broadly, but are there differences in which women are discriminated against when they're pregnant based on race?
Yes, there are. As with everything else in America, race plays a factor. On our hotline, which has been going for 25 years, one of the things that we find often is that the kinds of accommodations that are given without comment to white women are often denied women of color. So there's just outright race discrimination. The other factor is that, of course, class is racialized in the United States. And so women of color are more likely than white women to be in low-wage work. And the most egregious forms of pregnancy discrimination typically take place in low-wage jobs.
Joan C. Williams is the director of the Center for Work-Life Law and a professor at the University of California Hastings College of Law. Joan, thank you.
Thanks, Tanzina.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
doing coverage tonight as the cleanup is well underway at a Holland barber shop after it was broken into and vandalized. It's a story we've been following from the very beginning. Our Kaylee Kirby learning much more about what's next. She's live tonight with those details. Kaylee.
That's right, Tyler. Earlier today, the owners of Finishing Touch Hair Pros and community volunteers came together to undo damage done after racist graffiti was painted on the walls of the barbershop.
Really rough, disappointing, upsetting, a little bit emotionally exhausting, you know, just to see something you worked so hard for, you know, destroy.
That's what the owner's wife, Amanda, says she's been feeling over the last week. Her husband coming back to the shop on October 28th to find it broken into, things rummaged through, and racist graffiti marks on a wall. According to Amanda, this is like starting all over for them.
Flooring, painting, trying to, you know, scrub the things off the wall, spray paint off the wall.
They also have to repair fixtures and a shampoo bowl that was torn off the wall during the break-in. Shop regulars posted what happened on social media, causing people in the community to extend a hand in helping to pick up the pieces. People who have never even been to the shop stopped by to assist in the cleanup.
Just to see that there are good people in the world. I mean, yeah, there's bad in the world, too, and we can't ignore that. We can't ignore that fact. We can't turn a blind eye to it. But we also don't have to let that be the final say.
Volunteers scrubbed graffiti off the walls and mirrors, while others helped by donating snacks and water. The shop's owners removed shelves and moved barber chairs to prepare for a full refurbishment.
The owner's wife tells me that both she and her husband are appreciative for all the support, positive messages, and love that's been shown.
Yes. Truly a silver lining in kind of this heartbreaking, devastating story. Were they able to get all of the cleanup done, or is there still more work to be done?
They were not able to get it done. She said that they will be coming back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. volunteers to continue finishing up. And she also said they'll be creating a Facebook page for people in the community to find out more on how they can help their business rebuild.
Very good. Kaylee Kirby, thank you.
Context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast. I always think those types of reports are important because this is neutralizing workplace racism consistently. It's almost 2020, and even now I still hear individuals speak, suggest that racism, white supremacy can be solved at least with regards to the workplace if black people work for themselves. And that is just not logical. The evidence abounds that that is not logical. I try to say it as often as possible. If you are so-called self-employed, fantastic. That can give you more control over how you deal with white supremacy racism in some instances. But make no mistake, white supremacy will still be a problem for you, even if you are a non-white entrepreneur. That's, you know, exhibit number 5,255. I mean, lots of those stacked up, more to come as long as the system of racism exists. And they add some tacky metaphor, silver lining. What does that mean? We got thousands of dollars of damage. She said, it's like starting over. Silver lining there. And they talk about black people being lazy. That's why we have problems. Personal responsibility. Today's date, Friday, November 8, 2019. So I have been told, again, this is workplace racism. If we have black entrepreneurs, if you have figured out how to avoid those type of terrorist attacks, and I mean, I can even pause right there. I remember there was a black male. He owned a bar, and this incident happened several times, but it's the same basic premise. He owned like a bar, upscale type of restaurant, bar type facility, and white people were coming and throwing like glass, alcohol containers, and just rubbish on the ground, and then reporting him as though he did it. They were doing this on a regular basis, like making police, when I say report, like calling the police and saying, oh, my gosh, the Negroes here, they've got this, you know, tacky facility, and the drunkards are coming out and brawling and leaving, you know, liquor bottles and drug paraphernalia. That's what they were doing on a regular basis to make it seem like this place was a menace and should be closed. And this happened. I can think of multiple instances of this happening to black entrepreneurs. I know, like, personally, a story, a black male. This is right here in Washington State. Black entrepreneur. As I said, if it's not one way, it's another. It might be white patrons that you have to deal with if you are self-employed. You know, you might do business where your clients are whites. Might be that way. We had a black person permits, depending on the type of business that you have. You might have to get a permit, even if I just want to do yoga instructing. Might have to be CPR certified, even if you're going to just go out and teach on your own. Probably means you might have to get a white person to get CPR certified, especially if you're in Washington State. But there was a black male wanted to open a business. You got to get, you know, license X and license B, liquor license sometimes, and business license, and, you know, depending on what the facility is going to be. And so he goes to pay the license, and they say, oh, it's going to be $500 for the license, and, you know, you bring in the paperwork, and boop, 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 we'll get it done. He says, okay. Comes back, and he's got his paperwork, everything. He says, okay, $500, let's get it done. He says, $500? It's $5,000. That's what the fee is. $500, the first time that you go, you come back, and it's $5,000 is the fee. You must have heard me incorrectly, or I must have misspoken. But either way, the fee is $5,000. So if you could come back when you have $5,000 and the paperwork, and we'll get you that license cranked out. And James Lowen talked about how that's not an anomaly, that whites made that standard operating procedure with Negroes in a whole lot of different areas of people activity, including labor, housing. I don't even know where that is, housing, nine areas of people. But they have got a lot of practice in doing that sort of thing. Rigmarole, mistreating black people. But if we have black people who are self-employed and you figured out how to avoid all that, please dial in and tell us how you did it. The number 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Certainly, if you have problems, difficulties in the workplace, you can always dial in. Let us know. We'll do our best to offer counter-racist suggestions. You can always email if you have concerns and you want to make sure you can remain anonymous. You can write in and we can give suggestions or ideas. Or if you have suggestions to offer, if you have figured out maybe you're self-employed, you can email untiljustice@gmail.com and let us know. These are some of the codes that I've worked out, so that I don't deal with these type of problems from whites as I operate my business enterprise. Great. let's see. Oh, the pregnancy piece. I had so many notes on that pregnancy piece. Wow. If we have any folks dealing with pregnancy, I asked about that before. Seemed like we didn't have too many folks who had codification around being pregnant on the job. Folks, any, if you've thought about it, and you have began to piece together a code. I'm sure we have some people who listen to the cows who might at some point decide that they want to have offspring. Might be something to think about, codifying being pregnant and while you're working, even if you're self-employed. But that clip I thought was important for so many reasons. They talked about discrepancies in punishing individuals for being late on the job. which is very common, having discretion about when that is going to be enforced, tardiness that is, and saying that they said men could come late and there wouldn't be any punitive action taken. That was one of many moments where I thought racism, white supremacy is being deliberately practiced, because I don't think Clarence Thomas, President Obama, O.J. Simpson, Kanye West, or any other black male is allowed to consistently show up late and think that they're not going to be fired. That has not been my lived experience, and we have heard from a number of black males over the years who have talked about punitive action being taken against them for being late at work. Maybe white men in a system of racism, maybe they can come to work late and nothing will be done about it. I think that seems more in line with what I see. Not black males. Probably not non-white males in general. But they said, also the point with that, Mr. Fuller, where he consistently talks about the 5th and 14th Amendment, due process, equal protection, is everyone being treated the same way? So if I am late and there are consequences for me, are there consequences for every other employee who arrives late? And if that's not the case, well, that seems like it might be a matter for the Attorney General. That might be a constitutional violation. I think that, bing. Let's see. Subversive activity, using the word from Mr. Fuller's audio segment today. Subversive activity might be being practiced. Let's see. They said, just talking about the idea of the model worker, that was another point where they said the ideal worker is someone we think of is going to work for 40 years and it's not going to take time off of labor. That's, we think the ideal worker is a man. Again, white man. The unemployment statistics bear this out. Wage discrepancies bear this out, where white women, pregnant or no, make more than black males. So it is not black males who are thought of as the ideal employee. It is white men. That was, again, that's deliberate racism every time, just conflating as though all males, if you have a penis, you are somehow endowed with this power where you can do whatever you want on the planet. That is not, that wasn't even true for President Obama. That is certainly not true for the average black male system of racism. Let's see. They said, they ventured into racism, white supremacy, even though they said race is a factor. They didn't say racism, white supremacy. They said race is a factor. That's another way. They get slick with the words. They slick when they could have said diversity crisis. Got a lot of them. But they pointed out how white women get these pregnancy accommodations where black females do not. I am not surprised, but that's something I would make note of even in advance, even if, you know, you are not pregnant at all. If you're on a job and you see white women, if they get any accommodations, they get an extra space heater, or they get, you know, a fan for their area because they get, you know, hot. They get extra water. They get a desk moved closer to the bathroom because you might have to make more trips to the restroom. They get a more comfortable chair. I would write all of that information down, date, time, and would encourage. She gets extra time off. Anything. You got those doctor's appointments. Might have to be a little bit more flexible with her schedule. Does she get to come in a little bit later? Does she get to leave later? Did they give her a little more leniency with sick leave, personally? Anything. As much detail as possible. Even if you don't think you're going to be pregnant anytime in the next 5 years, that's information that I would want. And in fact, I have heard Mr. Fuller talk about situations where just because somebody else had that information, let's say it was me. Let's say I had that information that this white female, we'll call her Helen, knew she was pregnant, and they got her pregnancy slippers. She got a pregnancy desk. They got her a pregnancy keyboard. You name it. They hooked her up. I know this. They did this. Let's say I've been with the company for a while. They did this in 2011. Now it's about to be 2020. Now, a black female joins us. I'll say Draftomania just because she's here. So Draftomania comes on board, and she's in her second trimester. She says, oh, man, this chair isn't too comfortable. Hey, shut up. You know, you don't like it. You know, build your own chair. I'm like, well, wait a minute. In 2011, Helen, she got a pregnancy desk and a pregnancy chair. What has changed in the policy? Do we not treat and value all employees the same? Are not all pregnant employees valued members of this company? Can we not make the same accommodations? That's what they say. Can we not make the same accommodations for Draftomania that we did for Helen? All in the question lane. Boom, 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 boom. And then whether Helen even still works there or not, the fact that this has been raised, that this has been done before, now we're not doing it. Uh-oh. And then if you're not going to do it now, well, why not? We did this for one employee. Why are we not doing it for another employee? And just wait on the answer. And have a pen handy or a recorder and boop, boop, boop. All of that should be written down. And then you can call the hotline and tell them, you know, exactly what happened. But they said then when they talked about discrepancies with regards to racism in the workplace, they talked about women of color in general. I thought that was another blatant instance of white supremacy, racism, black misandry, especially totally excluding non-white males as though they don't have any problems with racism, white supremacy in the workplace. They're just males, so they got all the patriarchal power to get promotions and avoid being punished for being late or accused of being late or anything else in the workplace. That's reality. Massive act of white supremacy, racism. And I mentioned that previously. I feel like just it was either last week or within the last 2 weeks that is a consistent pattern with mainstream reports. When I say main, I mean mega white dominated news outlets, the New York Times, NPR, CNN, the Young Turks. Most of the major media outlets, when they talk about racism in the workplace, it's generally to the almost without exception. It is to the exclusion of black males and sometimes to the exclusion of non-white males in total. How are you excluding this massive millions, billions worldwide? How are you excluding this massive population of people who clearly, Omar Thornton, black male in Connecticut, who ends up shooting and killing 8 people allegedly and then is so-called a victim of suicide, calls in and says specifically his employees are racist. But no, he's, I guess, just a patriarchal male. Anyway, lots of people emailed, but Gus T is going first for workplace racism today. I will give out the number again for folks, especially if we have black entrepreneurs and or if we have folks who have been working on their pregnancy code, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Pregnancy code or self-employed code to stop racist antics. Gus T going first. Wow, yoga has provided a wealth of opportunities to practice counter-racist code. Wow. Number one, this will be new for workplace racism, and I think everyone should apply this. You should think, we, Gus T, anyone, male, female, if you are a victim of white supremacy racism and you are in the workplace, you have a career, you think you're going to be working for, you know, at least you're going to be working into 2020. We should think of potential hazards we might face in our respective work environments, whatever that might be, because we're all, you know, doing whatever. But think if it's from a specific colleague, if it's from a random customer, if it's from someone calling in, if you have to actually go into people's residences. I know some of our listeners, that's what they do. They have to go into, sometimes they have to go into white people's houses. Whatever your work environment is, be thinking of potential hazards. And then how you would respond if it's a sexual violation, if it's a racist joke, if it's being called a nigger, if it's someone trying to unzip your pants, anything. Think of it because it could happen. And then you'll already have some responses. And once you start thinking of these different scenarios, some of these responses, they would fit for other things that may actually happen to you. In addition to some of the things that you practice may unfortunately also happen as well. But be thinking of hazards. So the way that I'm going to do this, since Gus T is a yoga instructor, I frequently will be teaching white women. I'm teaching this Sunday afternoon. If you're in the Seattle area, this is a reasonable hour, late afternoon on a Sunday. If you want to come and practice yoga, drop an email and I can get you directions, all the information to come practice this Sunday afternoon. But as a yoga instructor, I'm frequently teaching white people. Often I am the only non-white person there, especially the only black male, black person, period, most of the time. Potential hazards. You all can kind of throw out some scenarios, and that way I can be thinking of what would I do? Because all kinds of things can happen. Want to make sure we avoid any Bill Cosby accusations and just anything else. I mean, it's such a bizarre environment. They don't have too many black people, so it's not like there are a lot of folks that I can go and ask for thoughts, tips, suggestions on dealing. So that's what we can do moving forward. Thus far, not had any incidents. It has been, excuse the cliche, smooth sailing for the most part, but definitely keep my guard up. And I have not done one adjustment. Not one. I don't even, like I said, I don't even put the cards down. They have cards that say hands on or no thanks. You don't want to be touched. I don't even give the option. Aren't going to be any pawn touching in here. Now, I do know black people, black yogis. If they were in class, I probably would be okay with doing an adjustment on them. I would ask, you know, to make sure it's okay. But yeah, I probably would be okay with doing adjustments on them. They have, we have a rapport, but yeah, I'm all good. Not touching Bill Cosby. Bill Cosby. Additionally, I do the same thing that I encourage on this broadcast pretty much every week. I used it as a hashtag today, policy and procedure. You do not want to be on a job where you have not read the policy and procedure in its entirety. Ideally, you'd like to read it before you even take the job, but you know, read the policy and procedure so that you know what's going on. As a yoga instructor, sometimes you will get opportunities to teach independently. You can network, you can work with friends, you can do retreats, all types of different wacky things you can do as an instructor. I worked with a friend and another non-white person that I didn't really know at all, but you know, another yoga instructor. But the one person that I did know, I had known for some time, and we're going to teach yoga. We're all yoga instructors, all non-white. Marketing to non-white people to try to encourage them, families to come out and practice yoga in Seattle during this past summer. Went on for 2 months. Was great. We had some Cows listeners who came out and practiced as well. Was grand. Back when we had summer and warm weather, seems like years ago. But we had, the three of us, we had a paid meeting where we discussed what the itinerary was going to be for our 2 months of teaching yoga, including the compensation, how much we were going to be paid, and, you know, at least a time scale. We didn't get an exact date because we were going to be compensated once this was being subcontracted. So they would, you know, write us a check after certain classes had been done. So it was understood that it would take a few weeks for the nickels to trickle in. All good and well. Understood. Moving forward. We do the yoga. I do my dates, which ended up being all in the month of July. So we move forward. Individual non-white who coordinated this said, admitted, without duress, meaning there was no questioning by myself or anyone else, like, where's our money, you dirty scoundrel, you know, you robbed. None of that. Like, it was, you know, we knew it was going to be a few weeks, so we're twiddling our thumbs, whatever, it'll be here when it's here. But he, as I said, confessed under duress that, oh man, I messed up the paperwork, you know, I didn't do that correctly, and, you know, that caused a delay in us being compensated. If I had done the paperwork correctly, we would have already been paid for half of the work at this point, but I failed to do the paperwork correctly. This was admitted without duress, and there was no problem. It wasn't, you know, why, what you, oh my God, you coon, none of that. It's like, okay, right on, few weeks or whatever down the road, okay. So basically 2 months pass, and still no one's been compensated. So I ask, like, you know, hey, do you have an estimate as to when we should be compensated? And it's, oh man, yeah, it's been months. Like, yeah, I will check on that and get back to you immediately. In the meantime, I got hired for a different small project that only required a few days of labor. Got hired to do that. In the meantime, while all this is waiting. And for this project, the person said that they had already been compensated, paid up front. They had the money so I could be paid right now when the job is done. Not compensated for either. So I'm waiting, thinking, you know, this, I know this guy, this is, you know, everything's fine, no issues. I wait a few days, ask again, you know, do you have any idea when we're going to be compensated? I don't know about the yoga, but the side project, I can do it right now. Give me, you know, your information. We'll get you compensated. Nothing. I forget about this because I partly think that I, you know, got paid. I sent the information. I think I've been compensated. A month goes by and I go back and check. It's like, did I actually get? Come, let me see. I go back and check. Not one pecan. I go back. Do you have a timeline? I mean, it's November. This is work that was done in July. So, oh my goodness. I can do it right now. What's your information? I can transfer the funds right now, which is, I thought we'd had this discussion before, which we had. I still, you know, worked out for it finally worked out, even though this individual still did not ultimately compensate me, even though I did get compensated eventually in full, whoopee. But it was just like, wow, like, this is absolutely workplace racism, even if it's other non-white people, even if it's friends, like, really be certain about basics, compensation, making sure things are done as they say they would be done, like just basics. I know for the studio where I work at, they have everything is to the exact date about compensation. So I don't really have questions there, but even with friends, I would say be exact. Be precise. I know Mr. Fuller has talked about that with time and energy, which is economics, same thing. He's talked about that with time and energy in terms of non-white people having regard for other black people's time, not being late for appointments, with black people being as timely and punctual for black people, our friends, relatives included, as we would be for white people. For a job or a loan interview or anything else, which I think is 5,000% valid. But definitely even on work projects, because I still think it's super constructive. I said that before, like that's a great way where you can use your friends as references. If you can find little side ventures where your friends, you all can work together on some sort of project, it's work related. Awesome. Now we have a work relationship, so I can be a reference for this individual because we have a work capacity and I have experience. This person can meet deadlines, all of that. Awesome. I think, and this is an opportunity to work on counter racism. I mean, just lots of opportunities to work together constructively. Bravo. But you still want to be codified just in the system of racism, white supremacy, to try to minimize conflict. Be codified with everything, be precise, and then stick to whatever the agreement is. That is the best way to try to do business, and be cognizant of that. I guess I would just say that as well. Be very, very cognizant of that in dealing with folks. If they are not agreeing, not keeping in line with what they said, that tends to stick out to me immediately, regardless of how nice the person may present. Are they doing what they said they are going to do? Pay attention. Mr. Fuller talks about that too. ProduceJustice.com. Give him a plug. But yeah, he talks about that all the time. Pay attention to what people do a little bit more than to what they say. Racists have a lot of flowery rhetoric followed by terrorist conduct. So focus on the deed. You can listen to what people say. That is important. Words are important, but deeds, critical. When working, even with other non-white people, have a code and stick to it. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. With that, getting to the emails, we had a number of folks who wrote in this week. Wowzers. Let's see. Wow, that's lengthy. Let's see. All right. What? Oh, this is not workplace racism. I thought this was workplace racism, but okay, this is not workplace racism. Skip that one. This is workplace racism. Yes. Okay. Black female. I believe this was a deliberate act of racism. I am enrolled in an online school where your assigned mentor has to approve you before the start of classes. I was supposed to start class on the 1st, but my white female mentor did not approve the course load. I contacted her and she made it seem like it was just a troubleshooting issue, while at the same time mentioning she has 85 students on her team and I was one of the two people who had an issue starting class. If she has 85 students and 83 of them were approved, how could you miss me and the other student? She has never seen me. We only speak over the phone once a week as a requirement for the college, but you can tell I'm black from my voice. In my workplace, there is a lot of unjust networking, there is that word, going on towards me and white coworkers developing stronger white alliances. I have been very observant. Extremely observant, and I noticed the whites touching their head every time I walk by. That's not funny, I'm sorry. Every time I walk by, or they have to walk by me. It's an obvious pattern. Also, last week I spoke of a group of white males heavily monitoring me and trying to get a reaction out of me. One of them got fired for not knowing anything. He has been here for 2 years. I'm going to pause right here just for a moment. I spoke with a victim of racism earlier today, Cal's listener. As is the case frequently, the conversation pretty quickly veers to workplace racism. That happens all the time. When we got there, part of it revolved around white people being allowed to be on jobs and do nothing. They don't have to be skilled because they're not going to do anything. They're going to drink coffee, take 45-minute coffee break, hour 45-minute lunch, 45-minute smoke break, excuse me, hang out at the water cooler for 30 minutes, swap gossip for another hour, and by that time, the day is almost over. If you can get in any work in between all of that, great. But I mean, it's been a lot of whites who seem to, that's been what they have enjoyed for a long, long time. under the system of racism. We have people call in all the time and write in too about lazy white people on their job who don't do anything and the work is stacked up and things are not getting done. It's all because this white woman or this white man or both are not doing their job. This is long standing in the system of racism, which is why you can have a white man or a white woman be on a job for 2 years, probably making a pretty good salary. I suspect not scrounging, making minimum wage and what have you, and, you know, struggling to get by, probably making a pretty good wage for those 2 years and not knowing anything. That is what domination looks like. Unpause. Never did his job correctly. Used to take, what did I just say? He never did his job correctly. Used to take long lunches and breaks and spent a lot of time bothering me. That's what he did. That's what he did. I'm going to take that hour, 45 minute lunch. I'm going to be on Netflix in the back watching Precious. And then I'm going to come out and bother some of these niggers. And then I'm going to go back and get on this Netflix and watch the next season of Power. Oh my God. My phone just rung. I am disgusted. I'm throwing it back outside. I told people yesterday I got a phone for the first time in years. I'm totally disgusted. I'm throwing it back outside. I told people on the program yesterday I didn't even have it in the room with me when I got it. I set it outside and I forgot about it because I'm not accustomed to having it. Anyway, white man doing nothing on the job but slacking and bothering black employees. They finally noticed. They knew all the time. They knew all the time. That's the white people are not ignorant about racism, white supremacy. They got Alexa. They got cameras. They got recording devices. They know who is. They got even more monitoring devices. They were talking about having new electronic devices that can monitor how much time you spend in the bathroom. They know we got a lazy white man here. Been lazy for the whole 2 years. White welfare. Dr. Cambon, give him a plug to white welfare. They got a lot of that in the system of racism. But she says they finally noticed he didn't know how to do his job when they, other whites, reviewed his accounts and he was losing the company a lot of money. Now the whites in charge spent the majority of the time monitoring me, in their words, blaming me for stuff I didn't do and trying to act like I didn't know what I'm doing. But this white male was able to fly under the radar for 2 years. I would just pause right there again. In my view, this is not they didn't know. This is white supremacy racism. We know this lazy white man has been messing it up, but that's not racism. What we like to do is say, oh, yeah, we're going to blame this nigger. You did it. We know Ted did it. But you did it. We know Ted did it. You did it. You messed it up. Look at how much money you cost us. Damn, that Ted messed it up. You did it. Tell us when you didn't even get trained right, did you? Did you? You slept through the training, didn't you? Man, that Ted. This is racism, white supremacy. It's not that they were ignorant. Ted wasn't flying under the radar. They're practicing racism. They love to do this. Blame black people for things that they know we didn't do. It's standard operating procedure. And I think for myself included, I think for a lot of us, it's hard to grasp because that's so illogical. I think most of us, I just wouldn't think that way to know this person had nothing. Why not? Let's just go fuss at Ted. Let's go just take it out on him. No, we like to practice racism, falsely accusing black people. That is why we wait. That's what I came to do. I didn't even really come to do any other business today. I just did the same thing that Ted was doing. I didn't really come to do anything else but to mess with you. The rest of the time, that's just, you know, I guess we'll throw some papers around and, yeah, okay. All right, but let's get back to messing with the nigga, because that's what all of this is about, unless I'm in error. Continuing. I don't believe they fired him for not knowing anything. I believe he may have broken code. Another observation I noticed is that when black people get fired, they will have a group meeting to announce the black person was fired for not knowing anything. But when whites get fired, they don't have a meeting. You just find out by the wayside from other whites who may have not liked the fired white. Now, that is interesting as well. And that might even be something to point out, like, wow, we had a big meeting, you know, when Jamal was fired for being ignorant and incompetent, like to shame him publicly, have his reputation besmirched permanently. But the white fella here, when Ted got let go after he was here on white welfare for 2 years, there's no meeting. There's no great announcement that Ted has been a fraud. Like, he was a part of that college admissions scandal and made up all of his credentials and called. We don't do all that. It's just, what happened to Ted? Did he relocate? What do you mean? And then you got to find out down the road. That is, if other people have experienced that, if you've noticed a discrepancy in what happens when a black person gets terminated as opposed to when a white person gets terminated on a job, that would be grand, because I don't think I had really paid attention to that before, if there are any noticeable details. But yeah, let us know if folks, if you hearing that, if that sparks any recollections, any patterns that you've observed, 605-313-5164, decode 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. So if we got folks, if you have pregnancy code, people have thought about that, added to that, definitely would like to hear any black entrepreneurs. If you have worked on your code to neutralize any racism you might experience as you work for yourself, quote unquote, definitely share. And then any discrepancies with termination. That would be a good one. Make sure I didn't miss from the first portion. Oh, with the student situation where you have this mentor and she messed up your information, I would be curious as to what the nature of the error was, if you can find out exactly what caused her to not approve your course load. It's suspicious in and of itself that she got it right so many other times for everyone else. And then also, if you can find out who the other student was who had a problem, to see, you know, if this was a non-white person, that would be interesting as well. And that's why I said white people, they are substantially more discerning. If it's from your voice, if it's from your name, they got a substantial number of studies on white people not hiring black people or finding different ways to mistreat black people once they found out you have a so-called black sounding name or a black zip code where they warehouse black people and allow them to reside. They have lots of different codes and they are discerning because they're not ignorant about racism. They're looking for any type of information that might indicate, oh, this is a non-white person. Unless I have missed my guess, that's what it means. You cannot be ignorant about racism, and a major part of that is racial classifications. That's all the hubbub about the census, racial classifications, even though it's one race. But racism, white supremacy is important, and being able to discern who is white, who is not, a big part of it. So it does not surprise me at all if she picked up on your voice and then just decided, oh yeah, I'll, you know, be a little sluggish in getting her course load approved. Let's see. We'll hit the phone line, see if folks have thoughts to share. I'll get to the other emails as we roll. UntilJustice@gmail.com. If you have suggestions, thoughts, your own situations to share.
May I be heard?
Greetings, Red. Good to hear from you.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Hello, everyone. Red, back in Ohio. Thank God I didn't let Nevada kill me. The first thing I guess I would make a suggestion of is for the student. I definitely think that, like I said, trying to figure out find out maybe what she said the error was about. And even, I don't know, if the student knows the racial composition of the class. Wondering if that other person, who this white woman just so happened to mess up their authorization on, was also white, might even come in the future. Should you have any problems with testing or anything, and maybe even thinking about that too, if she will mess up accidentally, quote unquote, on authorizing the workload, then how will she then react if the student is doing well, and she doesn't want them to do, doesn't want her to do well, what have you. So I'll be thinking about that. With the pregnancy thing, I actually thought it was interesting. I currently am at a temporary agency, and I work through a temporary agency for another company. And I happened to be talking to the recruiter about different things, and he had mentioned, this is a white man, he had mentioned that some, I don't even know why he decided to be so candid, I guess, but he had mentioned that some white men, if they were to find out that even for a temporary employee, if they were pregnant prior to them actually giving them or the authorization or giving them the temporary job, they would figure out a way to either decline it or even they might even have asked the question of how to make sure that they get as much work out of this temporary employee as possible. And that's what I was, that's what they made me think about that when the segment was playing. And I guess maybe one way, because I know I looked up before, like, you know, are there different ways that different, like, interview questions? And one of the interview questions that can be used for, you know, any listeners that are pregnant or what have you is, are you going to need any time off in the future or in the near future? So I think that that's kind of interesting. And maybe that's even like a way that a racist way that white people have figured out to practice their quote unquote pregnancy discrimination. A few things from this plantation, this temporary plantation so far. My first day, which was very clear that I was going to be what happened made it very clear that I was going to be experiencing racism likely throughout this assignment. I was taking my picture for the badge, because you have to have a badge to get in and out of the building. And this white man, I just thought he was white, like, come to find out he's a white man who speaks both English and Spanish. I'm taking this picture in like this main hallway or corridor type of area where lots of people walk up and down, and it's a non-white person taking the picture, and I'm just like standing up against this wall, just, you know, trying to wait for waiting for the non-white person to take the picture. So the white man quickly walks by, and he says, you should be standing in front of a heighted chart and holding a wanted sign. And he chuckles, and he chuckles at the non-white person who is taking the picture, and he, you know, goes about his way. Then the next thing that happened, and this is all within the first hour of me even being on this, you know, assignment. The next thing that happened is that the non-white person needed some assistance with, I don't know, sending the image to make sure that it gets properly put on the badge. So the person gets a white lady to help. So as the white woman is walking up to now where I am, because she had, the non-white person had to go get the white lady says, so you look like you're posing for a mugshot. This time I'm more prepared. And I say, oh, and know what that's like. She's like, well, you know what? That's good to hear. And she helps out the non-white person take the picture or do whatever they needed to do with the image, picture, whatever. And then she goes about her way. That was the first day. There have been other racist incidents. This is actually one of the larger places that I've ever worked in. And I would say the racial composition of the building is probably one black person to 10 to 15 whites. The number probably goes down if you count the non-white people, two whites. And so it seems like the white people, they are still refined, but they're very comfortable with their racism. I have to hear like racist things all the time. Just within the past couple of days, a white man and white woman, they were talking, and they know that I'm around because where I'm assigned to sit is not that far away from them. And anybody having a conversation, you can basically hear. So this white woman, they begin to basically speak about politics, but not in the sense of like the presidential election. It was something that happened on the news. Here in Ohio, recently, a black male, he was on trial. He was actually, the trial was done. He was found guilty of murdering these two white law enforcement officials in this suburb in central Ohio. And that's been like a really big thing on the news. And so they were in the sentencing phase at this point, and they had the widows talking about how much, you know, this affected them, whatever. And then they were, they had the defense attorney also for this black male was a white man. They had him talking about how the black male should how he should be punished because the state was seeking the death penalty. The defense attorney, they wanted him to just at least get life. So that's what the white man and white woman were discussing. So the white woman, she out of the blue just starts talking about how horrible it was and how sad it was for these white women to lose their husbands. The white man chimes in and says, well, you know, I'm surprised within this racial climate, or I'm sorry, not racial, sorry. I'm surprised within this country's climate that they don't just release him, speaking about the black male, they don't just release him and give him a medal, which would be horrible. And they kind of just continue the conversation on from there, like, how dare these, you know, this white man try to blame this non-present mental illness that this black male may have gone through as a child or what have you, for him not to be put to death. So there's other things that have happened, but I'll leave it there. Thank you for allowing me to share.
What a doozy of a local case. Do they have the death penalty in Ohio?
They sure do.
Oh man. Yeah. I don't think he's going to make it. Like, death penalty. Sounds like if they were on the jury, they would, I will pull the switch. Like, he needs to be out of here today. Like, what an outrage. That's what I mean about those type of situations. Like, you can just listen. I know now some people, if you could think of a question, you can ask, but that is not one where I would be like, well, let me hop in and tell you how I feel about today's guy. Whoa. You are not being paid to give your 3 cents. They already think you're a criminal. They think you should be like, they already said, you got a mugshot too. You should be in there with this guy in the death penalty. Incidentally, for all of those, that is so common. That's what I mean about thinking about situations in advance. That's so common. Anybody, if you have a job where you have, I was going to say identification, but really pictures for anything, because I've been on a lot of jobs where you have to take get a picture for a photo ID or this or that or, you know, whatever. Like, that's going to be a part of, you know, you have to take a picture maybe annually or, you know, whenever on a job. Be prepared, anything like that. And I've also heard that same thing come up where just they randomly got a photograph of a black person on a job and put it up like a mugshot. Yeah, like put their image up in the office. I think they did that with Calvin Lawrence. He was just on in Canada, Global System of White Supremacy. He said that he had that in his book. They put a coon target up and they put another one up with him wanted. All of that, that's when you can be thinking of, what is my response? Number one, take a picture if it's an actual image or anything. But if they say something like that, you know, oh, you should be holding a wanted sign. You know, where's your prison identification? You should be holding up. Am I a criminal? Always love being in the question line. You can have a question ready for that one. Am I a criminal? What crime did I commit? Are you suggesting I'm a criminal? Lots of questions that could be asked. I'd be looking for just one question. You can ask them right then, or you can take the picture and then come over and ask. I was taking my photo. You said I should be holding a warning sign. Have I committed a crime? Am I a criminal? Oh, I was just joking. You take everything so serious. Tacky. And again, like I said, I've heard that so many times. We've heard that from other Cows listeners. Like, that is very, very common. The wanted sign, criminal. Black people are always hoodlums, gangsters. Just like that fellow they want to, you know, have in the gas chamber there. Much obliged, Red. Now back in Ohio, not death in the desert. Let's see. Other folks, if you...
Can I?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Oh, I just wanted to let you know, I'm sorry. They didn't actually execute, or they didn't actually sentence the black male to the death penalty. They did go ahead and give him life, and the whites, the following day, they were upset about that. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
Well, I'm upset about it. I was going to ask, was it on the table? But they were upset about it, so I guess it must have been an option. If they, especially if you, in this climate, I'll use their metaphor, in this climate, a black male killing an enforcement officer with this president, wow, he easily could have gotten the death penalty. And I am not surprised that your coworkers were fuming mad about that. That's when you got a 45-minute smoke break. Oh, man, I'm going to smoke about three and complain about this nigga. Can you believe they let that nigga off? We're going to stay an extra 5 minutes and talk about that today. They nigga killed two. I would just sit and lift. You got your recorder. Boop. And then wonder, when they talk about Ohio, that's a swing state, and wonder, wow, how did Trump win? I don't understand. What happened here? Those white women right there. System of racism, white supremacy. Other folks, if you have a question, suggestion, certainly if we have folks who have been working on their pregnancy code, that is super important. If we have any black entrepreneurs and you have, you know, been working on your self-employed code, that would be grand as well. While folks are getting their thoughts together, I'll get through some of our other emails here. All righty. Kizzy's cousin writes in, summary of racist antics for the week. Number one, over the last couple of months, I've observed a lot of non-white people hugging suspected racists in the workplace. I'll just pause right there because it is November and I forgot I'm so divested from the holidays. It is that time of year where it's probably going to be a lot more of this because it's, you know, they're, oh, it's Merry Christmas and just got to give you a little rub and, you know, happy. So it's probably going to be a lot more of this going all the way into 2020. So be prepared. That talking about different hazards to prepare for, people might be doing a lot of that over the next 2 months, wanting to come up. They might ask and they might not. They just might come full force and, you know, snatch you. So be prepared for that. Do I want people touching me? Do I want to be groped for the holiday season? If the answer is no, what is my response? If they come up and do it and they don't even ask, whoa, you can do the backup. You can move their arms away. I always like the stepping back, moving the arms away. And oh, wait a minute. You know, it's cold season. And you could just say, I don't do hugs in the workplace. Like it's 2020 Bill Cosby. You can just say that. They've said they've had segments on NPR, major mainstream news outlets where they have just said, you can just say that, you know, I don't do hugs. Good to see you. Nice job. We can do a handshake, but I don't do hugs in the workplace. Yeah. Did you need something? Let's, you know, about the business. What do you need to get done? But you could just say that. But I would just already have that planned out. So it's not awkward. Bam, you already know what you're going to say. You already know what you're going to do to deal with all of that. But it is that time of year. Expect more fondling in the workplace. Non-white people in the hugging, some of them are very high up on my suspect. Oh, wait a minute. They're hugging suspected racists who are very high up on my suspect list. There were 3 incidents this week. The majority of the non-white people are young, and I suspect not very knowledgeable about the system of racism. Who is? So they get very confused by smiling race soldiers. Who doesn't? This includes not understanding that non-white people's suffering is very lucrative for racist suspects who can commoditize this very easily, whilst at the same time not giving a damn about the victims. I was disgusted with each witnessing. I also saw a grown man hug a race soldier at the end of a seminar. During the day, this racist suspect shared that she spent time in South Africa and several other non-white countries. My observation is that non-white people who are more confused take this information and process it as being down with black people, in quotes. I have seen that myself many times. Number 2. I had to request some information from various people in the team, including the saboteur. When she started at the job, she told me of her 20 years of experience in the field that I could tap into. Mr. Fuller, love it. However, she followed up my request with an email to the whole team stating that she basically needed help as she didn't have any knowledge on the subject. Other race soldiers rallied on her behalf. Another race soldier female did a similar thing later on in the week. Race soldier managers constantly state how amazing this individual is, so she should have been able to answer the question. She could not, and this is not the first time, so I wasn't surprised. I've said nothing. That is awesome, and I would definitely encourage that. You do not want to be a black person or a non-white person in general and be on a job and so-called outing a incompetent white person. As I said, number one, white people are not ignorant. They know which white people are actually working and which ones are shiftless and taking 45-minute coffee breaks to complain about, you know, that nigger should have fried. They know all this. So you do not need to, you know, share any information with them. And it's been my observation, this sort of thing. Oh, man, you talk about retaliation. Like, what? Matter of fact, you talk about retaliation and rallying on behalf of a race soldier, like, oh man, like, this nigger here is trying to impugn your expertise. Like, can you believe this? You do not want to do that. I've seen a lot of examples of that. And they already know. Like, I would just sit back, make notes, and wait to be accused of some sort of error that this white person probably made. Continuing. Another race soldier female did a similar thing later on in the week. Race soldier managers constantly state, oh, we already got that one. And not being surprised when you begin to be more informed about racism, I think that is the position you want to be in, where you are not surprised about anything that white people do. That, I think, is when you start to, I'm seeing things correctly. I'm understanding, as Dr. Welsing would say, you are connecting the dots and you can strategize much more effectively. I think when I'm not surprised, all of these things are exactly what I thought these tacky racists would do. Number 3, I had to attend a meeting with a senior manager this week. He was meeting with a potential client, a non-white male representative from the company, and I had to prepare a brief before the meeting, which required speaking to colleagues who may have worked with this person in the past. I approached a race soldier male who knows the non-white male. When I asked him for insight, he became very agitated and seemed almost furtive. As if he had something to hide. He asked when the meeting was to take place and wanted to sit in. It wasn't my place to invite him, so I told him to confirm with the senior manager. I then asked him about his knowledge and experience working with the person. He was less than positive, but I was suspicious given his agitated and furtive behavior. We got that word again. I then asked if he had worked directly with the individual and the context and the last time he had met. He informed me he had never worked together and they had not seen each other in 10 years! !3. I fed this information back to my manager, a race soldier female, who asked me to prepare the briefing. I left out the irrelevant comments that were not based on any real intelligence. To my surprise, the race soldier male turned up at the senior manager's door in an attempt to join the meeting. I saw this as an attempt to do... One more time, let's get it. I saw this as an attempt to do some unjust networking. He did not succeed. Now, that is interesting. Maybe next week we can get the update as to if you have a theory as to why he failed. Because generally they will, you know, what she just said, they will rally. Or at least be receptive. Like if it seems like you may have some gossip, you don't like this particular Negra, you don't think this is a good one? Like, they generally would at least be receptive. Like, I'd be curious as to why he could not get a receptive ear to come in and badmouth this victim of racism. But, wow. The fact that they had not seen each other in a decade and that they never, that is in all capitals, they had never actually worked together, but this person was upset. And I think we got that before. I think someone wrote in last week or a week before where a white person had an attitude. Oh, it was they were upset about a black person who had not worked at the company in like 10 years. That's what it was. That was just last week. It was a white person got furtive. I can use that a win. We get it three times. Got furtive and upset, very agitated about this black male. And it was like, well, wait a minute, didn't he retire in 2009? Oh, man, I wish he had retired in 1999. I can't believe it. Well, wait a minute, I thought, have you seen him? Have you talked, what's going on? Is he coming back? Oh, that, I can't believe you. Irrational, the system of white supremacy. That's what I mean. Like, sometimes I think when Mr. Fuller says that we don't understand what it means to be white, it's difficult to comprehend the thought, speech, patterns, emotions of racist man, racist woman, because it's just, it's not logical. And I just don't think most of us are thinking that way. I don't think most of us are going around actively holding grudges and being angry with people that we never worked with, people that we have not seen in a decade. I don't think most of us, and then like active, like, what? He's coming here. Let me go see if I can. Like, what? What are you talking about? Like, what does it mean to be white? Global system of racism, white supremacy. Unjust networking. The number again, 605. Much obliged, Kizzy's cousin. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, not for spectators. Folks have suggestions, thoughts, feel free. I'll squeeze in one more of our emails while folks get their thoughts together. So they have a report attached to this I can share so y'all can check it out down the road. I'm sharing because I just played I think several reports. I talked about the Supreme Court case involving LGBT rights in the workplace. And I've played a few segments over the last few weeks dealing with this subject matter. So this person wrote in, he said, there's an interview with Mr. Stevens or Miss Stevens. Sorry, it's a white female. But anyway, I will tweet it out so y'all can catch it. But this white person in the interview is going to influence and change workplace policy for the whole Northern Hemisphere. What's interesting is the fascination with dead bodies and anti-sexual behavior that is at the forefront of this Supreme Court decision. If I had to predict the outcome of the Supreme Court decision based solely on necrophilia and anti-sexual behavior, I would say whites are going to make some major changes on the plantation. Miss Stevens was fired after coming out as transsexual. Now she is lead plaintiff in a Supreme Court case that will determine the employment rights of gay and transgender workers across the nation. I, too, suspect that this will have major ramifications on workplace policy. It already is in many instances. Like, it's even to try to think like what this will look like maybe in 5 years. But I would definitely be mindful. And that's something folks can report on as you begin to see different trainings, policies, even the language that's used in the workplace. Dial in and share. Like I said, I talked with a black female here in Seattle, and she worked at a big retail chain. And she said that the white people that she worked with, they were extremely aggressive and effective at lobbying to get gay employees. And that's LGBT. It would be stated in that way explicitly that they are not represented here greatly enough, and we need to hire more of them. Now, I had to pause because I don't even know, like, what does that mean? Like, if you see someone, how do you know, oh, this is a gay person that they've got working here today? Like, how would, I mean, even if they had a rainbow flag, like, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are gay, lesbian, whatever. So, I mean, anyway, that notwithstanding. But she said they were very aggressive about that and apparently very effective, more effective than getting black employees hired. So, yeah, be mindful. Report if you see how that's impacting the workplace, the language, again, that's being used, policy and procedure that's being written. And I will share the report. But yeah, and see if it's anything that can be used to help solve problems, because as I said, Fifth and Fourteenth Amendment, Mr. Fuller talks about that all the time. Equal protection. If you're seeing things that are being allowed and done for them, hey, that could be done for other people. Make notes. See if it is applicable. But the number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943. Pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If everyone is doing spectacular on the job and you are not being subjected to any abuse, mistreatment at all, again, please let us know how you accomplished this. That is baffling in 2020. Give us as much detail as possible. Or if you're not being mistreated, or really it should be and, wrong conjunction. And after you give us as much detail as possible, make sure you are being mindful, because I'm pretty sure even if you yourself have not been mistreated so far this November or this autumn 2019, I'm pretty sure there are probably some other shenanigans happening in your workplace, either other non-white people being mistreated there and or just incorrectness in general. That is the system of white supremacy. So they might be leaving you alone for a little while. You should still be mindful and making observant. Same thing that folks have been saying in some of the written reports, being observant and writing down, because I'm sure there are incorrect things happening in your work environment. Even if you yourself are unmolested, things are going fine, not having any problems. All that aside, if we do have folks, things are going great, you're getting all of your raises and promotions in a timely manner, you can certainly invest. racism-notes.blogspot.com. racism-notes.blogspot.com. PayPal button is in the top right corner. We are also on Cash App, cash.app/$thecows. You can invest if things are going that well for you on the plantation, at least while things are going well. Much obliged for the support. Hopefully the cows is worthy of your time and energy. While folks gather their thoughts, just as I said, trying to think of my own workplace situation for yoga. I think for one, I do not wear my "please treat me like I am a white person" shirt if I am teaching, because I don't want to have a dialogue about the shirt. I really don't want to talk about anything other than this is the class that we're doing. This is the sequence. Let's do that. I don't want to talk about anything else. I don't want to talk about President Trump, the election, nothing. just doing the class and moving forward. So I do not wear that shirt when I am teaching. And it may even be better counter-racist code to not wear that shirt at a studio if I'm going to practice there, if I teach at the studio. It might be a sound counter-racist code to not wear that shirt at a studio where I teach. I'll have to think about that. I do, not every time, but I do wear it if I am just going to practice. But because that might be the type of thing where someone would have seen me with the shirt on when I'm practicing. And then when I'm teaching, I didn't wear that shirt that day. But it's, oh, yeah, I did see that Negro with that shirt. I'm going to ask him. And I'm not really interested in talking about that when I'm teaching. So I have to think about that. I guess that could be one. So I'll think about that now. So if someone were to come to me, someone classified as white, were to come to me in a teaching capacity and ask about the shirt, a codified response. It's a counter-racist exercise. I think that's what I would say. It's a counter-racist exercise, and we're in a system of racism, so I feel it's a minimal request. Yeah, I think I could live with that. I'm sure if I thought about it, I could polish it and maybe do a little bit more. And maybe even that's one I could respond with a question. I would be all right with that. They do say you're not supposed to answer a question with a question, but I would be okay with breaking that rule in that context. It might even be better to just skip to a question. If they ask that, you know, I've seen you wear that shirt before, that please treat me like a white person shirt. Why do you wear that shirt? And to ask them to question one, even better than that, I have a little time to think about it. Are you white? Most important. Let's start there. Are you white? And if they say yes, oh, okay. Why do you think I would? I think that's even better. But I don't even want to have that much dialogue, you know, while I'm teaching. Like, that's something I would prefer to just chat about the yoga. But, for right now, I'm going to have to stick with the second one. Are you white? And then with another question, why do you think I would be wearing a shirt like that? And see what they say. And then that might be enough. And if I had to add anything more, I think it's a minimal. Or I might ask them three. Do you think there's a system of racism, white supremacy? And see what they say. If they say yes, then if they say yes to that, nothing else to be said. I think that's it. I'm going to go with those three questions. Are you white? Is there a system of racism? Why do you think a black person would be wearing a shirt like that in a system of racism? And shouldn't be anything else. I'll go with that. Unless somebody else has a better counter-racist response where I can say less, but that is definitely one. I think there was one where I was trying to think of situations that could happen. Being alone, where it's just one white person at the studio, I think that could happen. There are cameras at the studio, thankfully, so at least there would be video backup. I don't remember if there are cameras in the studio. There might not be cameras in the studio. I have to double check about that. There might not be cameras. If there are no cameras in the studio, that could be a problem because that could be a so-called blind spot. But I have to double check about that. I know throughout the studio, other than the studio, there are cameras. So there'd be some video evidence. I don't know. I guess I have a phone now. I could pull out the phone. That's something I'm so accustomed to not having a phone. That's one I could whip out the phone and record. I guess if people have any thoughts on that one, if you're end up being at the studio and it's just you, because I have had that happen before where I've showed up to take a yoga class and I was the only person that was there. So that does happen from time to time, especially if you're teaching early morning classes like I do. I teach 6 a.m. So that does happen from time to time. So yeah, phone, record. If it escalates, I guess I would ask the person to leave. Since I'm the instructor, if they don't leave, I could just call the police. I could just, you know, get on my phone and call the police, call the owner and let them know that, you know, there was a dispute. I didn't feel comfortable and I took distance. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll have to think about that more. Any thoughts being there, white person alone, best ways to take precaution? And if something should happen, what would be the best thing to do? I think distance, record, get to the area where there are cameras. I think that would be best. Record, get to the area where there are cameras as quickly as possible. Ask the person to leave. Call the police. I guess that's always, you know, dicey proposition. I'm thinking about my own situation. I did say I was going to go first to workplace racism. Other folks who dialed in, if you have suggestions or your own situation, proceed.
May I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Hey, good evening, Gus. Good evening, listeners and participants. It's a two-part, if I may, present a new topic. It's kind of an update. I think I called in a couple of weeks ago, and it was dealing with an overtime situation where a non-white, non-white, non-black supervisor had denied a black male, two black males, overtime for something. I got to try to remember how I presented it. But regardless to any, but actually, I think I gave another update where the overtime was taken away across the board for everybody. But then some other actions were taken where one of the black males had taken to write a report detailing some of what had gone on after he had been spoken to by another non-white, non-black supervisor telling him to leave it alone. And subsequently, like I said, I work with him quite frequently, but subsequently, I've gotten a promotion, put me as a supervisor. So I feel I'm going to be put into a difficult predicament because I'm sure to run into him at some point once I'm finished with training. So I want to know is there any advice from anybody who might be able to get suggestions how I might be able to address the black male. As a matter of fact, let me mute my line. Let me think more on it, but I want to go ahead and participate and also present it and put that out there. If I'm being confusing, yeah, please let me know. But I'll mute my line and I will think about a better way to present the predicament. I'll mute my line. Thank you.
I guess just really quick, is presenting to the black male about, I do remember the overtime situation and the update as well about how they did a site-wide change to the policy to where he was not eligible for the overtime compensation. Congratulations on, I guess, your promotion. And they probably do. That tends to be the case often. I'm not going to say every time, but we are in a system of racism, white supremacy, so suspicion is warranted. But it does happen a lot where a black person will get promoted, but they already have in mind, this is not going to be something where you get a nice, great promotion and a nice big raise and can sit back and put your feet up on the desk. We have already got problems in mind that we're going to dump on you. To put you in, like, oh, yeah, either to do exactly what I said before, oh, this is your fault, or another popular one, they promote a black person to then mistreat other black people. So then all the black people get upset with you and think it's your fault that they don't get overtime now. That it's you that's keeping them from this, or just different things. Like they generally, like I said, not every time, but that is very frequent. We've heard that from a lot of black people here and a lot of black people being frustrated at black supervisors where they realize that a white person put them in this position to do this, that a lot of times they're doing what white people are ordering to do, that sort of thing. So it's likely, if you're having some suspicions already, that tells you a lot. You're an expert on your work situation. You're there every day. You know these people. You've been around them. You see their motives and what have you. So you already know that going in. That is probably going to be something, you know, awry with all of this. Either them asking me to do something incorrect or harmful to other black people, or black people being frustrated with me, like you said, having to intervene in a situation. I just wanted to be clear about what it is that in terms of you having to say something to this black male about. Is it about the overtime situation, or what specifically would you have to talk to him about?
Yeah, it would be about the overtime situation, because like I guess he's written a report, because we, as like I say, I'm going through orientation, going through training at presently, and like I said, the non-white Hispanic male who spoke with us, you know, saying spoke with us together, and you know, after the initial incident, told my partner to, you know, I guess, you know, leave it alone. If you accept that metaphor, leave it alone. He then subsequently wrote up the report. So now, as part of the orientation, the Hispanic male told me, "Well, you know, I heard something, but I'm surprised." So I already, you know what I'm saying? So I was curious and suspicious, like, what is it that he heard? But then when he mentioned it as part of the group orientation, I had, I said, I saw where it was going. So I understood that. But yeah, I suspect, like I said, because I, as part of my training, we go to different job sites, because like I said, I guess, yeah, we go to different job sites. So I will be back over there in the next week, maybe week and a half. I want to try to prepare, like I said, a response, because I'm pretty sure, I'm almost 100% positive I will, you know, come and encounter my former partner. And I'm almost, like I said, this is, you know, saying it as just using logic, I'm pretty sure he's going to want to speak to me about it. And previously to that, I had counseled him, and you know, as part of our conversation, I told him, "Well, you do what you feel you need to do in order to get compensated or get wholeness." And so I don't know what he might have wrote in that in his report, but that's neither here nor there. I just, like I said, I don't want to complicate my involvement. I don't know if that makes sense.
I see that. I'm glad you gave a little bit of extra detail. If there's some sort of dispute about compensation or enforcement of policy and procedure or an allegation of wrongdoing, that my word, discretion, that doesn't seem like the type of information that should be casually mentioned in a group orientation. Like, unless my understanding of orientation is flawed, like if this is an orientation where we're welcoming people to a new job and what the job expectations are, I'm not sure why that would include a pending discrepancy where all of the pertinent information isn't being presented, so that, you know, people aren't being what they call prejudiced. And being given, you know, a little snippet here, a little snippet here, with somebody's own bias about a situation that's still pending, still being adjudicated, as they say, like that seems at minimum unprofessional. And that's what I mean about you saying you're already getting some details. It seems like they probably are going to want you to get involved in this. I would just try to do the correct thing. If it's getting involved, to talk to this black person and let, hey, they have changed the policy and you know, this is what it is. Like, you have your report written, they're aware of it, but they are not going to change. Like, this is what it is. Like, and I have told people to make it clear in terms of policy and procedure, I do not write. I am just here to enforce. Are you serious? I am just here to enforce policy and procedure. I am not the CEO of the company. These are what the rules are, and this is the new updated policy and procedure as regards to overtime compensation. You know, like, yeah, I know we all want as much money as possible. And, you know, it seems like, that's what I said before, this sort of thing seems to happen on a regular basis. The best thing that I can say is let's all try to do as much as possible moving forward to make sure this never happens again. You can even give out the suggestion that I gave that in the future, because I suspect this probably happened with some other people who are working at that job. I don't know, but I suspect there are probably some other black employees there who probably also, if they made a site-wide change, who probably also went into a shift or a set of hours thinking, oh, I might qualify for the overtime on this, or I did qualify for the overtime on this one, and nope, site-wide change, no more of that. So I would say, hey, this has happened to quite a few people. In the future, verify beforehand. That way you will be in a better position where you talk to whomever. If it's come talk to me, and I can go talk to whomever. If you're going to, you know, be promoted, you're in a more powerful position, whomever. But go verify in advance, and then boom, you'll have written verification, or if it's email verification, you'll be in a much better position as opposed to doing it and thinking that you already qualify for the overtime, and then that's not the case. Put yourself in a stronger position moving forward, because I suspect this probably happened to not just him who got messed over with this change in policy. If that makes any sense.
Okay. Yes, thank you. I'll definitely consider that. And like I said, again, like I said, I will update and, like I said, try to be more precise with, you know, say, to give everybody more detail. Because it's interesting, and like I said, what you said, what you presented is like where, okay, now, because they all feel like, well, not they all, I want to, let me try to be more precise. Most people who know me as, I guess they regard me as someone, I guess, who is equitable. And then they say, you know, say, I guess they, you know, fair.
Watch that word, fair.
Several comments have been made to, Yeah. Several people have commented to me, oh, don't change and don't drink the Kool-Aid, if you understand that particular metaphor. But I think now going forward, I considered that, and I come to the conclusion, I say, well, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I just simply moved from the field to the big house to counter that metaphor with that metaphor. And I think I want to use that one, and I want to ask your view on that. And I'll mute my line, and I'll try to, I want to ponder on it a little bit more to give you a little bit more detail. If anything, I will present it to you in a email, and you can present it to the listeners. Thank you.
Much obliged for the update, sir. I try to say that as often as I can. Always appreciate updates. Gives an opportunity to refine our code, to see, make sure we're not talking nonsense and giving out foolish advice. We're supposed to be following logic as we try to process and figure our way as best we can. So I always appreciate updates from listeners as we proceed. Yeah, I think in that situation, I would just want to, with the metaphor, I guess, to go to specific with your question, it reminded me of Dr. Welsing. She used to mention Jim Jones frequently. I'm not sure if people that don't drink the Kool-Aid may be at this point disconnected from Jim Jones and what happened in South America. Like, I think at this point you probably have several generations who have no idea who Jim Jones is, but they may have just in passing have heard don't drink the Kool-Aid at some point. I'll say it this way. I have exclusively said no metaphors on the compensatory call-in, which is on Saturdays. If there was going to be another program where there were no metaphors, it would be workplace racism. And that's not even, it wouldn't take me a second, like a nanosecond, like, oh yeah, workplace racism, because that is definitely one environment where I would want to be precise, as opposed to not drinking the Kool-Aid or the plantation or fair, just practicing justice. I'm going to be just. Be just, do justice, practice justice. I mean, that one word kind of sums it up, and particularly when you can attach a definition to it that makes sense, that I think is the correct frame of mind work. And that's the reason that I like that is that that's more explicit than don't drink the Kool-Aid. Like, doing justice, that is a specific task, as opposed to don't drink the Kool-Aid. That's a little vague. That does not, just because you don't drink the Kool-Aid does not necessarily mean that you are doing justice. So I tend to, in the workplace, encourage being explicit about things in the work environment. Sometimes metaphors in that environment can produce less than optimal results. But if other folks have suggestions on how you would deal if you're looking like you're getting a nice little promotion, I'm not against promotions. Sometimes you don't have a choice, so that's something to keep in mind as well. Sometimes they will just give you the promotion. You don't get an option to decline. So if you have any thoughts on how you would respond, you're going to be promoted, and it looks like you might be promoted to get into some sort of conflict where other non-white people are being mistreated on the job, and they want to put you in the middle of this to mediate or stop it or hush them up or whatever it is, how you would respond, and, you know, just in the future, like potential problems that you could see in this type of position where it seems like they may want to use you to mistreat some other black people or to control these black people, get them, you know, so they'll be quiet and work. If any tips on functioning in that environment with some black self-respect and in a just manner, that would be appreciated. Or if you have your own situation, that's fine as well. Number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-#. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, not for spectators. I am sure there is Friday night football, prepping for Turkey Day, lots of exciting Friday evening alternatives. This is not the spectator broadcast, so if folks have thoughts or suggestions, feel free. And again, be thinking of scenarios, potential problems that you might have to encounter on your job and how you would respond. Incidentally, I would share that one with a lot of folks. I've said that before about the overtime situation, because that's almost cliche. That's right up there with blaming black people for things that they know that they have not messed up on the job, that white people know this black person didn't do this. This white person, Ted over here, did this. Go ahead and get the overtime verified in advance, because that's so kind. I believe I can think of more instances of a black person thinking they were going to get overtime and then something happened where they didn't, as opposed to the times where they actually did. Go ahead and verify to make sure, like, no discrepancies. This is not going to be a problem. This is what it is. If you can get electronic verification so that you have, bam, email, date, time, boom, 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 great. Because nobody wants to be wasting time in the system of racism, white supremacy. I just mentioned that the other day when I was talking to doing the program on a black male being threatened. Value your time and energy. Nobody wants to waste time. If you're thinking I'm doing this and I'm doing this because I'm going to be getting additional compensation and I'm not, you could be using your time and energy in a better manner. You could be doing something else. That's time that you could be devoting to counter racism or anything other than being on company time doing whatever that is most likely supporting white supremacy racism directly or indirectly. So that might be one to share. Go ahead and get that confirmed in advance. And then if it's not going to be overtime, then you can make additional plans and, you know, have correct. Everybody wants correct expectations. That's one thing that we should want for a job and any other environment, to have correct expectations about our environment. It shouldn't be any guesswork. Certainly shouldn't be any guesswork about compensation, anything else, when I'm going to be getting off. None of that shouldn't be any guesswork. All of that should be exact, precise, and then let's stick to what the agreement is. Context of white supremacy. Let's see. Others who dialed in, if we have any thoughts, folks are spectating. I hope this means, with this many folks, that things are excellent in the workplace. I mean, you've got a brand new chair, or it's not yours, but at least you got a brand new chair that you're allowed to sit in. You got a brand new desk, brand new computer, brand new phone. Everything is sparkly, brand new rays, not just, you know, old tacky equipment that you get to use for the time that you're at the office facility, but brand new rays. Like, they are doing extraordinarily well by you for the time being. Grand. That is great. I hope it lasts well beyond 2020. But again, you still want to be working that workplace journal, because I am sure that not every non-white person in your work environment is being taken care of that well. If they are, then my God, you need to dial or *61 immediately and let us know where you can. We get an application to come work there if you and all the other non-white people are just sparkling. Things are just could not be better. We would like to come and work there. Then we won't have to have workplace racism at all. We can just come and live in a lap of luxury. So make sure you are being observant of what is happening in your work environment. Be mindful of changes to policy and procedure. Even in the short time that I have been teaching at the yoga studio, days literally, policy and procedure change. They have an update. I do appreciate that they do competent, prompt email updates to the policy and procedure, real 21st century, 2020 style. Like, not, you know, it's in some raggedy binder that you can half read and some other tackiness, like, oh, bam, you could be on your phone, or I could be on, you know, come home and just play around on my little tablet, and oh, okay, policy and procedure updated, boom, and then I have it. Anytime I can search it, I talked about that before, you can do a keyword search if you're trying to look for something specifically, all of that to make it super easy. So I love it, and I am current with my policy and procedure. Like, I'm trying not to be a hypocrite, practice exactly what I preach. I was current. I read policy and procedure entirely before I was hired at the studio. I actually, in front of me right now, I think it's about 5 yards, I have a hard copy of the policy and procedure right there, even though I could pull it up on my computer as well. And I have the update, and I have that downloaded, so I have that as PDF as well. So I make every effort to not be a hypocrite. I would not come on here and tell you, oh, yeah, policy and procedure, hashtag policy and procedure, policy and procedure, and then get on my job. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to use that as a coaster. I'll get to that, you know. I'll get to that next year. We got a lot of important policy and procedure. It is super, super. And sometimes you'll find good things. Like, I can tell you for myself, I read the policy and procedure and found out, oh, wow, if you're if you're an instructor at the studio, you can get a free membership for an immediate friend or family member. And I said, oh, my gosh, I have to find a non-white person that I can hook up. And it's a lot of jobs, especially if you get one of the better jobs. They will have different benefits and things like that. Sometimes, as I said, you have to dig. You might even have to know a particular white person on the job to be like, oh, yeah, we get, you know, 60% off on oil changes. There could be all kinds of ridiculous things that somebody there would have to tell you. Or sometimes they'll have that information in the policy and procedure. You just have to go through and read all the fine print. Let's see. Irie in Louisiana. If you have commentary, should be with us. Workplace Racism, good to hear from you.
Hi, thanks. Nice to hear from you, too. You can hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. I was listening to the archive for your yoga experience. I had no idea it got that treacherous, like, even more than what I knew. It's crazy. I'm you know, I just want to applaud you again for sticking to your guns and not giving up on being an instructor and, you know, helping non-white people, you know, get healthy. But I do pray that the terrorism stops. So just a couple things. I just heard you mention policy and procedure. A friend of mine is going through something where people are actually refusing to give her policy and procedure. And, you know, I told her I think that every time she has a question, that she asks it to her supervising manager. And then, you know, later on, if she needs to, you know, go up, just make sure she's CCing people and emails on, hey, you all are putting me on the sales floor. I'm not sure what to do. I've asked this date, this time, what to do, what the, you know, the strict policy is, and I'm not getting any answers. You know, so I'm noticing for some people on the job, policy and procedure is being obstructed from employees so they can, you know, be constructive on the job. Other thing I want to report is yesterday I was in a play where I was watching a play. It was very dark in the auditorium, and I wanted to mute my phone, make sure my phone was on mute. This is during a substitute job. You know, so I'm checking it just to make sure everything's off, and all of a sudden I hear a voice, and I feel moisture in my left ear. And the voice is saying, you really need to put your phone away right now. And I don't think Miss Whoever would be happy knowing that you're on your phone right now. And she was about to keep going. Like, she, I guess it took her about 5 seconds to say the first part. And by that time, excuse me, I'm sorry, I'm in a sauna right now. So that's what that loud boom was, sorry. But anyhow, you know, I knew it would take a couple of seconds for her to say, oh, you know, put your phone away. I was going to comply with it, but then she was, you know, going about who wouldn't be happy if they knew and something else. I said, you really want to do this right now during the play? And so she actually reported me to an assistant principal and told them that she was taken aback that I asked her that. And I just thought it was interesting because, I mean, you came up to my person in a dark area so close that I could actually feel spit, little droplets of spit going on my ear, and it was so trashy. And so when the principal, you know, came to me about it, I said, you know, it's so unfortunate to hear that she thought that I was being aggressive, and the lady was there too. So I said, hey, What would be the best thing, you know, next time to, you know, in a situation like that? So you know, I'm not sure what to do. I just know I was complying and the play was going on. I didn't know what else to think is maybe later we could talk about it. I don't know. It was just really confusing and it made me uptight. But it was just crazy how people think they could just come up to you and get all close on you like you're a small child. And then the other thing I wanted to say is for veterans and active duty, there's some type of special going on at a place called Just Tires. I'm not trying to plug them, but I thought it was constructive where they're doing comprehensive little car checks. So I just, you know, since that's a workplace and I'm a veteran and other people listening are veterans, if your car needs a checkup and you don't have the money, you can go to Just Tires if it's in your area, get your car looked at. I'm going to get mine looked at without having to pay for it. So, and notebooks. I advise my friend to always have her notebooks since people aren't trying to give her policy and procedure so she can let them see she's writing down their noncompliance, giving her information. And, yeah, that was about it. The pregnancy thing. And I agree with the report you played. It's definitely perceived as some type of error if you're pregnant and you're on the job. So that's all. Thank you, everybody. And sorry about the noise and the rambling. I'm a little out of breath trying to calm down from working out. Thanks.
Right on. Rehydrate. That is important after a workout. That is a spectacular red flag. There are many in a workplace environment, and, you know, we all will have our own individual things that stand out as being extraordinarily incorrect. I would say a work environment where they serve alcohol, unless you're working in like a brothel. I know we got some people in Nevada or other parts of the world, Amsterdam, where that sort of thing is. Unless you're working at like a brothel, a bar or something like that, a restaurant, if you're working at what's supposed to be a professional place and they're like have alcohol, drugs on the premises, that sort of thing is promoted, that would be a red flag. Any sort of sexual incorrect behavior that is allowed, tolerated, that would be a red flag. Guns, that would guns, violence of any sorts, that would be a red flag. No policy and procedure where they're not willing to make their policy and procedure readily available to you, a readable policy and procedure, because we've had some folks who said they provided a policy and procedure, but it was like some tattered mass of like recycled paper that had been poorly photocopied and was faded and you could barely read it and pages were ripping. I mean, that would be a red flag. Like if this is your presentation of the rules that govern your company, supposed to keep us safe and productive here, I'm going to make sure my resume is updated. So that would be number one. Like, I would already be thinking like, whoa, how long do I want to stop? Because that's just, to me, you're not even being up and up from the beginning. Like, you can't even give me, I just told you the yoga studio, this is not, you know, super important right, line of work. I have emailed updates to the policy and procedure. Easy. PDF format, Word document, whatever you need. Boom, boom, boom. Right there. And I got the hard copy. And they got a copy right in a pretty binder at the front desk where everybody can read it, even if you don't have access to all that newfangled technology. If they can do that at the yoga studio, certainly they can do that at this young lady's job. The fact that they don't want to do that, that would suggest to me that you don't intend on following these rules. That's generally my assessment. White people, they like to keep the rules vague. You can do whatever you want then. It's like there are no rules. Only you kind of know what the rules are. Everything else is going to be really nebulous. Great idea about having a notebook and documenting. That would be question one. Do we have a policy and procedures? I mean, if I've asked and it can't be presented, does it exist? Like, do you have an actual policy and procedure here? Or does that not exist for this company? And if it does exist, is it a physical copy someplace that I could sit down, even if I can't have a copy to keep? Is it a copy that is buried someplace in a safe deposit box somewhere where I could go and sign in and leave a deposit in my keys and read it for 5 minutes? Could I get a photo? I mean, I would ask some of these questions, but I mean, really, like, if they're not willing to be up and up and about this, like, wow, this is a signal to me that a lot of things could be really difficult at this company. I don't even have a backbone. If there's a question about compensation or sick leave, personal time, I don't even have anything to reference about these policies. Where is the policy and procedure? Recipe for disaster. In terms of the tackiness in the auditorium, I'm not sure I would want to be accosted like that over a cell phone. Although, you know, expect ill treatment. That's the yoga studio or anywhere else. Do not expect correct treatment. And I think white people, they just feel, one, racists. But a part of that is that paternalism. Like, they feel like it is their duty, racist man, racist woman, to correct their children. Anytime that they feel we're out of line, you know, I need to chastise you about your phone. Put that down right now. What's wrong with you? We don't even let you all in here to watch plays to begin with. This is why we don't let you all in here. You're so uncouth. She needed to, you know, to do that, to put you to chastise. That's, you know, that's the way that I felt in terms of being treated by white people frequently in public. So I am sorry you had to experienced that. I always love it when we can respond in those moments with questions, asking her if she wanted to do this, handle this in this manner at this moment. Always think it's best, if as best we can, to keep our composure in those kind of, forgive the metaphor, out of the blue, impromptu situation, unplanned kind of confrontations with some random white person, to just the, as best you can, because then I think you can come back with those questions. It doesn't necessarily have to be where you get upset and that sort of thing, where you can really kind of think in a counter-racist mode. What's the best way for me to navigate this situation safely, and so I don't have to waste a whole lot of time and energy squabbling with a racist in public? But always a red flag. No policy and procedure. Whoa. Update that LinkedIn. Get that resume sparkling. No policy and procedure. How long do I want to hang out here?
Saying one other thing real quick. It's really quick.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just want to say, I don't know about everyone else, but it really took a lot for me not to have a physical reaction when I felt her so close to me. Part of me, like, instinctively want to elbow her, and I'm glad I didn't, because, like I said, I was in the dark, and I just think, I know racist people take for granted that we not only have black self-respect, but that we'll execute counter-racist defense of ourselves, and, you know, I really didn't like how she crept up on me like that, and she was so close, and I've been doing a lot of like almost kickboxing exercises, and you know, I'm trying to be very, very alert of my surroundings as best as possible. So when she did that, she almost got knocked out. So if racists are on the line listening, don't be sneaking up on people. Somebody might let you have it one day.
Crazy. Context of white supremacy. I totally respect the being mindful of your surroundings. That is extraordinarily important in a system where we are constantly under attack. So doing things that will help you be mindful, alert about things that are happening in your presence, and just about the proximity, because I feel like that happens all the time. Like, we're out in public, like, just feeling that they can violate our public, violate our space to correct us, chastise. This comes up in the workplace context a lot, where we're there and it's to come up and either do the hugs or the patting, the touching, lots of that, you know, touchy-feely stuff, like boundaries. That's why I said, like, if they're coming up and doing the hugs during the holidays, boundaries, feel very free. I just don't do hugs in the workplace, you know, here to work, here to help in any way I can. I just, you know, don't do all the touchy-feely stuff. Thank you kindly. But yeah, violating, be very mindful of your space, really in all environments, of how folks are talking to you. You can even use those words, you know, please be mindful of my bow. You can come up with your own terminology, but I think that would even be good, because I think that's throughout the system of white supremacy, white people feeling entitled to touch us, and There are no boundaries as it relates to black people. That term fungibility, they can just do whatever they want with us anytime they want. So I think that would be something right there, just saying, you know, please respect my boundaries. Back up, back away from me, and we can, you know, doing the move. I love that in the workplace, doing the move. That's what I said with the hug. And they come to grab, whoop, you can move the arms away and step back as well. Mr. Fuller said that with the hug. That's what he would do, like, whoa, hop back behind the desk, back up. Wait a minute, I don't do the hug stuff. Context of white supremacy. Much obliged, Irie. 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If we have suggestions. So we had black male called in, promoted to a supervisory position, and he thinks it's, and it seems like he already got some evidence, that they are going to try to put him in the middle of a situation where a black male or a non-white worker has a dispute about compensation, if folks have any suggestions about Black supervisors being kind of manipulated or used in these type of situations, that would be great. If we have folks who've worked on their pregnancy code, super appreciated. Black entrepreneurs who have figured out some codes to neutralize racism as you are self-employed, as they say. If we have any suggestions on those topics or your own situation, *61. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in with a hand up, if you have commentary to share, proceed. You're a little low. If you could speak up a little bit, that would help.
Can you hear me now?
That's better.
Hey, good evening, guys. Gals. It's my first time calling in, so I appreciate you listening to me. I was interested in calling you because I seen the tweet today that talked about self-employment, and the other caller previously talked about veterans, and I'm a veteran myself. So I am in that realm of self-employment. But there are some things that I have to do as far as licensing and finances that require my interaction in professional settings like the bank. About 8 months ago, I was applying for business credit with my wife, and we applied for a credit card, so we established business credit. That wasn't approved, so we tried to get a secured credit card, which means that you give them the money up front, and then that will act as the backing for the credit card. They will report your usage to the credit bureau to establish a good business. Our paperwork was somehow lost, so we tried it again 3 months after that. It was lost again. We tried it again after that. Another 3 months was lost. So the beginning, towards the middle of last month, we reapplied. When we reapplied, the bank then said, we can't approve you for a secured credit card because you have a negative payment. You have a negative credit history. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Please be more specific. Then they talked about issues in which it was corrected and paid for. And after that, they were like, well, we're not going to approve it. I said, but I already gave you the money to create the CD required for approval. How can you not approve of a secured credit card due to poor history? However, that's what it's for. After back and forth, trying to use logic as my guide to ask a series of questions, which resulted in the supervisor being involved, and then that supervisor having to answer questions, I then get the approval. I set another appointment. I asked for a report. I set another appointment for 2 weeks. I wait the 2 weeks. The day before my appointment, they say, hey, you've been approved. Wait another 2 weeks. I call and say, I already waited 2 weeks. Why would I have to wait another 2 weeks for my car, for our credit booster? There was no answer. It was like, well, we can overnight it to you tonight. I was like, okay, I would like that, but then I need to file a report about why I'm going through so many hassles, and is it possible discrimination, or is it something wrong with our business? I then file the report over the phone. I go to my appointment the next day. I talk to the business, the small business person, and that person then said, oh, well, I asked them if they seen the report in the system. They said no. And this is a major bank. It's not a small mom and pop bank. This is a national bank. So her supervisor then comes. The supervisor doesn't see the report. And I request to file a new report in the office. I mean, in the bank personnel's office. The banker, I hope that's what I'm supposed to call it. The banker then gets an attitude with me as if I'm doing something incorrect by filing the report, another report, and saying pretty much since they didn't see it before, I don't trust that it's in there. And what the supervisor's doing. We filed a report, I get a case number, and then I leave. I get home. My card's there, but my name is misspelled. I corrected the spelling on our account 3-4 times of my name. They keep saying that it's updated. It should not be a problem, but every appointment I go to, my name is still spelled incorrectly on this. At this bank. So I feel as though, or I have seen from the evidence of us having this bank that it is not good for me. However, working with my CPA, working with other business professionals who banks or who goes through this process, I'm being suggested that just give it a year. And then if I don't like it within the year, I can change. Unfortunate, however, since I am trying to get more experience with that, I'm going to heed the advice. I'm going to concede to good advice. And quickly, I just wanted to also add that a couple of days ago, I had to pick up my wife from work. And when I was picking her up from work, I was early. So I had to go wait at an outlet mall for her to work. I was like half an hour early, but I was very, very tired. I had my baby in the car, and my kid was asleep, and I've been listening all day. I was going through some of the audio books, and I was listening to, I believe, it was wild. I was trying to stay up, but I was like, no, I'm talking right here. I'm going to go to sleep. So when I went to sleep, there was empty police cars and nobody out walking around or anything, and I just went to sleep on my top. When I woke up, it was 20 white people just standing around and looking in all different directions. They were just standing outside. And I was like, what's going on? Like, as soon as I woke up, I was like, what's going on? I looked their way and I unrolled my window. As soon as I unrolled my window, they dead, they just kind of disappeared. The only people who were there, that were there, was the police, and they had their windows down. They were, like, listening, but I was looking at them. They were there for, like, a minute, and then all three of them left. So I was like, it was like being in, you talked about it before, it was like being in that movie They Live, when they get on the watch, on the Apple Watch, 80s Apple Watch, and then they tell everybody come and listen up, and then when you see them, they like jump into that hole and disappear. And that's exactly how it was. And other than that, thanks for letting me call in today. I appreciate you guys for listening, and guys for listening. And I would like to participate in the talk. Now I'm following.
Much obliged for calling in. First time caller. I'm always appreciative of folks calling in for first time and sharing workplace racism or any of the other programs to be truthful. I am not surprised in hearing of the tackiness with the bank. That is, you know, universal. All I think you even included that they misspelled your name. You saw some of the forms and they had your name spelled incorrectly on some of the paperwork. Is that right?
Multiple times.
Multiple. Not, in my view, not an accident. I think I mentioned at the early part of the program, in terms of Black people, if they are self-employed entrepreneurs, and you have to get licenses, depending on what type of, you know, business that you're operating, getting a license, getting a loan, different things, you're probably still going to have to deal with white people directly, indirectly, probably directly, to do a lot of these things. And they can cause a variety of problems dealing with this type of tackiness. You can go to a different bank and that might be better. And it might be people that have information about banks that would be better, where they can give you better service and you all won't have to deal with all of that. But I mean, that is widespread in the system of racism. I know here in Seattle, they had a big report in the Seattle Times about Black people exclusively, because they said white and Asian people didn't have those problems. And they were talking about business loans specifically, and talking about why there are not a lot of Black entrepreneurs in Seattle. And they said that banks do not like giving out lines of credit to Black people for businesses, not the way that they will for white people who, like many of our listeners already mentioned today, maybe they're competent at what they're doing. Maybe they're not. I think somebody said that about our current president, even with some of those loans. But anywho, I would encourage, that's why I said you'll have to deal with racism, white supremacy, regardless. I would encourage asking if there are other people who know of banks that would be better, more hospitable, more professional to Black entrepreneurs, to see if there's a better place for you and your wife to go to do your business. And there might be other folks who have even better suggestions. I know we had people that were in banking specifically, and they had more specific questions, acts that they recommended just because they're more knowledgeable in that field. So if any folks have any suggestions to dole out, that is always appreciated. Let's see. Other folks dialed in. We miss you totally. B in Toronto should be with us as well if you have commentary.
Thank you. Thank you, Gus. And good evening to you, callers and listeners. Yes, just to add on to the information, I myself used to be in banking and also in credit union as well. Perhaps the caller, the former caller, might consider looking into the credit unions in their area. What we found here in Toronto as well as other parts in Canada. The credit unions have been, at least here, have been able to give more opportunities, to slightly more, not a great percentage, but slightly more opportunities and approval for loans for startup businesses. So to definitely consider there. And also, as the with the constant misspelling of the name, which definitely impacts on how the former caller is going to try to access their account, if it's been happening on a long-term basis, even if it was short-term, to definitely relay those concerns, if not through the branch manager, which I'm sure caller has already tried, then to go straight to the CEO if need be. I know in the past it's been said, sometimes going to a more powerful person, and usually it happens to be a white, might be able to have that situation rectified. Also, I got a chance to listen to the show that you had uploaded for Wednesday regarding what was happening at the yoga practice. And I just wanted to say kudos to you, Gus, for letting that participant know, if she was on time, then, the space wouldn't have been a problem to her. Mind you, I'm paraphrasing. But I am so happy as to how that was handled in terms of sticking to your code. When I was hearing your information as to what occurred, I was clapping and smiling. I'm like, yes, this is exactly how it's supposed to be. Because you are correct. They do with such authority, non-whites who are white identified, as well as whites who, as well as whites, they do it with such authority, and they use it as a terror tactic that if they don't get their way, then they are either going to further terrorize you, make your life miserable. They will embed lies and innuendos into the situation, causing a whole host of repercussions. And they like seeing that misery. I guess to them, it helps them feel a false sense of power to them. Don't get me wrong, it's still white power, but they definitely seem to get emboldened by this false sense of power, knowing that, their best day was mistreating others, which is rather disgusting in my eyes. There was a similar situation, not with the yoga in particular, but a similar situation in another industry, in which I remember overhearing a white woman expressing to another white woman on the job, and it wasn't pertaining to me because they weren't affiliated with my team at the time at another workplace, where they were saying, well, the one white woman said, if this bleep doesn't watch herself, I'm going to get her fired. So yes, they go with that type of arrogance, and they go in with that type of mindset. both white and what identified. You know, that that type of tactic is what keeps them where they're at the Supreme, because it goes to strengthen white supremacy overall. In terms of updates, it's pretty much the same. The terrorism, they just find new ways to continue terrorism. Still just finding different ways to stay on code, making sure that I'm more aware, being very careful with the types of terms used, making sure that I'm speaking as if I'm speaking in a courtroom, you know, things of that nature. They do still, the white women that are there, the white females, they still continue, but I'm still looking for additional employment as part of the exit strategy. But that's about it. I leave the line and thank you.
Much obliged, B in Toronto. Global system of white supremacy. The vehemence, if that bleep doesn't watch herself, I'm going to get her fired. Apparently, I'll just repeat myself. White people are not ignorant about racism, white supremacy. Apparently, that white woman knew her power to get that victim terminated. And it's been my experience that whites in general operate with that type of authority in the workplace that, oh yeah, it only takes about 3 minutes and I can have you out of here, Negro. Like, they seem to understand that very well. False. That's why I said I take all of those accusations seriously, that you did this, you stole 5 paper clips last year, like all of that seriously, because so frequently it becomes serious. So any of the false accusations, staying calm and moving through the code, let's investigate and see if there's any merit to what I'm being accused of, because that just happens so frequently. But the non-white people, victims of racism who are white identified in those behavior patterns, that's why I say in the workplace, you just want to be codified and be about justice. There should not be any mistreatment, period. There shouldn't be any harm, period. So that even if it is non-white people that are behaving incorrectly, replacing white supremacy with justice means doing away with all forms of mistreatment, and certainly in the workplace, period, really. But just being mindful that we do not have immediate allies with someone just because they are not white. I say it all the time with regret, mind you. Expect ill treatment. And that's why I was saying today, like, kind of be thinking of scenarios, things that may happen, so you can already be thinking of what would my response be? What would I say? What would I do? How would I respond in that sort of situation? Just being mindful of those type of things. Keep the resume updated. I love it. Staying updated. I do not expect there to be any changes from the conduct of the racist white women that you are with. Just more of the same and figuring out new ways of doing the same thing in terms of mistreating you and other little sabotage techniques. Being mindful of your space, protecting yourself, and keeping the resume updated to see if you can find a better spot, hopefully where you can make a lot more money too. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in, if you have comments, suggestions, your own situation, or you want to touch on anything that's been shared thus far on the broadcast, proceed.
May I be heard?
Greetings, caller in Florida.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to Gus, the host, the listeners and callers. I have a few incidents that I want to share The first two, they are elevator ones. The first one is, it was like on Wednesday, it was an elevator full of people, at least about like 5 or 6 people. And this white man, the IT person, so to speak, and a non-white, non-black female, I guess they were talking to each other. And I don't know what happened, but he turns around and looks around and says to the lady, because I guess that they associate with each other quite often. So he just out openly says, "Hey, did you touch my butt?" And she's like, "No, what are you talking about?" So, you know, they're just smiling at each other. So, in front of everybody, I says, because his supervisor standing right next to me. I said, "Can you tell him to behave, please?" And I kind of just like look up at him. And then, you know, he just kind of like smirks and then gets off of the elevator. So I saw him later on that day. And he didn't look too happy. So I don't know if maybe he had some counseling, I guess you can say. That's the term they like to use. My next one is, this one had nothing to do with me. This was the one that was reported to me that was said to a black female by the warden. So the warden says she speaks to the black female. And she says, "You know, I've noticed that things are a lot different. Our culture isn't," or no, she asked a question. She says, or asked, "You notice our culture is a lot different than it was when the two of us were hired." So when I was told, I was like, "I wonder what she meant by that." You know, like, and the response from the black lady was, "Really?" So I asked, I said, what did the warden say after that? And she said that the white woman got quiet. So this, all right, so the two of these females on the elevator, the white woman asked, "Isn't the culture different now than it was when the two of us got hired?" And the black female says, "Really?" So that's a real quick one. But I thought it was very powerful. My third one is the black male that has started. I do notice that he has, I don't think he's been coming in late a lot, but there was a particular day that he came in late. And a comment, I believe, was made when he had to leave maybe like a minute early or something like that, or something. And the white woman, the supervisor, she's like, "Oh, well, you like to come in late and leave early, huh?" So I don't think he responded. And the black female victim said, she said something like, "Oh, well, he leaving around the same time everybody else does." So she said, she said this loud so the white woman can hear her. So the white woman got quiet. My next one is, I had like a not really a defect, but there was an issue that happened with the vehicle that I used to transport the mail to the post office, and I had to use my own vehicle to get the mail to the post office, and I had to walk to the vehicle and bring my vehicle back to the courthouse, and I had to show the police my work badge and then take the mail to the post office and get back all before time to clock out. So I was still able to accomplish it. So this Monday just passed comes, and, you know, I just sent the email documentation saying that that this is an injustice and I had to go through this. And I said, I made sure I put injustice as expected, and please see to it that the top person, so to speak, hears about this. So I'm like, I don't want to talk to the warden or the other male warden who I had an encounter with last year. So she was like, well, has anything recent happened? I'm like, oh, of course. Of course. So I'm guaranteeing that they obviously engaged in unjust networking because I could tell he was starting to try to become more nicer, more courteous. And how about this person out of nowhere sends me a friend request on Facebook? Okay, like this person is sending a friend request. So, you know, that got denied definitely. And my last one is there was this happened a little while ago. Like, there was a white woman that used to be in our area doing customer service. And I remember it playing back in my mind, like, because I was training at the time, and I noticed the black customers, the white people have a low patience threshold. That's the word I've been using. Low patience threshold with black people, with black customers. Very low patience threshold. Definitely, I think that's racism, too. So it's a certain tone that this female take, the white woman take with the black people. And I remember her getting up to go get something. And the black female was like, oh, I don't know if I like her. So that, see, black people are paying attention. You know, we definitely are picking up on racist behaviors and things like that. And that's all I have for now. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Low patience for the Negro. I would agree. I would generally say that people are not very patient. Anybody, white people, non-white people, they generally are not patient with me at all. And you got some of the folks at the clerk window, they wear their proudly wear their MAGA paraphernalia and gloat about their views on, you know, racism, white supremacy in general, and where they think the country should be headed. So that is not surprising to me at all in terms of not having. I guess their lack of patience for black people, contrast that they had that white woman, terrorist, who had a long rap sheet. She came and they were patient with her. They weren't jumping to throw her out of the courthouse or have her arrested. She got to go through and harass other folks and what have you. Just try to note those type of differences. The elevator insults, like I said, Mr. Fuller used that term. He was talking about victims insulting each other. Like, y'all got white people clowning on the elevator. Like, man, as soon as I heard that, like a white woman saying in the back, did you just touch my butt? Like, oh, man, let me off right now. Like, I don't care if I'm on the third floor and we're going to the 15th floor. Like, I will take the stairs. That'll be my workout for the day. No yoga. Like, I'm good. Like, what in the world? Like, I don't play like that. I'm nervous even hearing that. Like, you all are on here chuckling about that. So it's a whole lot of people. Like, people, somebody might get confused about who you even said that to. You all are joking. This is your thing. And somebody, you said you got the supervisor. He might have heard that and think she's talking to you. Like, let me off. Like, yeah. Make them behave, like, for real. Like, what kind of nonsense? Anyway, in the era of Bill Cosby, no less, the culture, and that sounded like a question, the way that the black female responded with the really. That's, and I mean, sometimes one word can be a question. Really? But the culture change, and that would be another one I was thinking, what exactly do you mean? The culture was different. Like, What is, I would have had a whole, this, what does that mean exactly? What has changed exactly for the better, for the worse? Like, I would have wanted a whole lot of details about the change in culture at the Florida courthouse since we've been hired. Like, give us more insight about the good old, that sounds like some make America great, make the courthouse great again. Things have gone downhill since certain people have been hired on here. Like, man, With the black fella that was late, I wanted to pause. I was so excited that was a moment where I was, you know, glad I was muted. I just said, when they had the report about pregnancy and they said that the guys can come in and be late and nothing is said, and I said, whoa, I don't think black guys can come to work late anywhere, and that's just going to be no big deal. You know, old Jamal came in 3 hours late today, or anybody. Old Gus came in 10 minutes late today. No, that has not been my work experience for me personally or my observation for other black people that I've worked with. So to hear that one, that this black male came in late at the courthouse and this prompted remarks from his white coworkers, that's what I thought. So they make some sort of snide remark. Oh, he's taking all this time. He doesn't have to come in. What did he say in response that shut them up? I missed that. What was his response?
See, on that one, he was, getting ready to leave. 'Cause like a lot of the staff like to be at the time clock, at least 4:59. So he was doing pretty much that same thing. And the white woman says, I think she phrased it in, as a question. So you come in late and you want to leave early, huh? And the black female jumps on in and says, no earlier than the rest of everybody else leaves. And the white woman goes silent. So she said, the white woman said it out loud to embarrass him, and then the black female countered it, basically. So she left him alone after that.
Love it. That was the part that I missed. I got confused on. Love it. This isn't the same black female that gave the really response, is it? She didn't get a twofer.
Okay, see, now the thing about that one, the black female that countered the white woman, she reported to me that a different black female was in the elevator and the warden asked her that question about the culture.
Oh, okay.
So these are two different black females.
Got it. Okay. That is black self-respect. I have said for a long time, hey, I do not do a whole, if you're united independent in the workplace, we're not here, cannot help out every other victim of racism. We got a lot of white identified victims, unfortunately, and we all don't have the same, you know, perspective on racism. It can be risky trying to go out, but wowee, that is magnificent. Like, thinking she's going to get her little jab in at the end of the day, like, got this no count lazy nigra, can come in at 3 o'clock and then leave 2 hours later. And whammo, to be able to step in, leaving at the same time as everybody else. And, oh, man, I was going to get my tacky jab in, and she's going to come and mess that up, man. I thought we were all going to be together. Lazy black male, like, we can't. Ruin my day. I'll have to go home and think of another joke to get in tomorrow. But I love it. Love it. Anytime, and at minimum, anytime when they white people do that sort of thing, when they're putting down another black person, even that sort of thing, when they can make it tacky and seem, oh, that's just jazz. I was just playing. You know, we play around like that with each other. At minimum, I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to laugh. That is sparkling black self-respect. If it's actually, I'm going to say something to let it be known that this is not cool. I am not on board. I see what you're doing, trying to tear down this black person. I'm not co-signing with you at all. Let's see. Oh, and the injustice. I love it. Mr. Fuller, when I played the audio clip at the beginning, he said anything that promotes injustice, mistreatment is subversive activity in the workplace. Same would apply for injustice. Love that one, when you can invoke that language, that this is an injustice when incorrect things are happening in the workplace. You know, which having to go do all that in your personal vehicle and identification to get through and all this in a really short time period, using correct, calling things by their proper name and what you're being required to do with this task. I was even thinking with my personal vehicle, am I being reimbursed for gas? Much and on top of all of this ridiculousness that I'm having to go through in this short period of time. Like, if I got to use my personal vehicle and put wear and tear on my property, like, you should have a staff vehicle. Like, they're somebody not doing their job probably, and why the staff vehicle is not operational or available to us to be able to use, why I got to rely on my personal vehicle? Am I going to be reimbursed for that in addition to the injustice of what I'm being asked to do here in this time frame? Great questions there as well, but always a big advocate. Correct language. You don't have a grievance. You don't have a complaint. You have a report of injustice. You have a report of subversive activity. You have a report of a major violation. That's the type of language that you want to use in the workplace. Serious. These are serious problems. They deserve a serious resolution. Much obliged, caller in Florida. Always an A-plus at the courthouse. And we get to see, get the update to see how they respond. I will be looking forward to that, how they respond to the report of injustice with all of this, the fallout, if they make any permanent changes with their request, their request for your task for the mail drop or what have you with that. If other folks, wow, we have like 5-6 minutes. If other folks have anything they want to get in, last few moments before we conclude, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Any other folks, comments they want to make sure they, caller, retired firefighter. Missed him totally. If you have a comment, question, you should be with us as well.
Can I be heard?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I have a report of workplace news with non-white people under the system of racist white supremacy attempting to operate into the workplace, starting with, and I hate calling a black male Willie. He's popularly known as Willie Taggart, but I'm going to call him William Taggart, former head football coach at Florida State University. As I think I predicted on this program, I know I've done it in some other occasions with other people, that he was fired. But there is a good side on that issue. First and foremost, there's no athletic coach up on those levels that don't know that they can be terminated at any time. He was smart enough to have a condition about him getting paid a significant amount of money in that particular process. And Florida State University owes him millions of dollars. Hopefully it is effectively rendered to him. You know, we're under a global system of racist white supremacy, and strange things can happen to whereas monies that that is actually owed to us somehow in some, I guess, some kind of fine print, it may come up to whereas it would make it tough for him to get those millions of dollars. But he is owed by Florida State millions of dollars in the process. interesting to note that one of the main candidates for his replacement is the well-known Hall of Fame NFL football player and former alumnus of Florida State University, Deion Sanders, is noted as a top candidate for the program. Just about all of the reactions that I've read were not favorable on his behalf. Some of the reports were based on a failed attempt at a school that he had started. There were some financial failures that was involved in this, in the school eventually closing, that sort of thing. But the main thing that I thought was hypocritical was talking about his lack of coaching experience on the college level. Well, that doesn't stop white people from hiring other white people who doesn't have experience. The head football coach at University of Miami was a young person who grew up in Miami-Dade County, and he was just given jobs on the college level. He started on the college level as far as the coach is concerned, whereas you're talking about Deion Sanders has been a player, one of the top players on the collegiate as well as professional levels. When you're in that atmosphere, you are subject to having to have an understanding of contracts and the business side of sports entertainment, and as a top athlete on the collegiate and professional level, he was highly sought after. So he has to understand something about recruiting from the aspect of a player itself. And so I think that's not really a valid criticism of him on that level. Nevertheless, stay tuned as far as that concern. Otherwise, down here in South Florida, the governor selected police chief of Broward County has been he's been firing people. He fired a white male for punching a handcuffed white male in a hospital, handcuffed because he was the perpetrator in a crime, and the enforcement official, this white male enforcement official, was seen punching this handcuffed white male. He also fired a black male who was a resource officer. That's basically an enforcement official that works in schools, who slammed a non-white black female middle schooler to the ground and fired her. He made a real valid comment by stating, "I hope that any police chief would, police department would state that what this guy did, what this employer did, would not be acceptable on the job to do." And I mean, you can easily type it up yourself and get the film of the officer slamming this she might have been around 12, 13 year old girl to the ground, you know, that sort of thing. And he fired him for it. But yeah, that's something, some of the more popular incidents involving non-white black people in the workplace down here in the state of Florida. Thank you.
Much obliged, retired firefighter. Wow. With Mr. Taggart, I think they had been talking about firing him and complaining for a long time, so I'm not surprised there. They just had that clip about black coaches in football professionally and at the NCAA level, which is professional too. And then with Mr. Deion Sanders, like, that's what I mean about qualifications, because you get a whole lot, and I mean a whole lot of white people all over the world who are not qualified at all. That's been a little mini theme for the program today, who are not at all qualified for their job, Donald Trump, but they get it anyway. That happens consistent, and I mean all types of jobs in all types of fields. So, I mean, at least if we're talking Deion Sanders, if it's football related, well, yeah. In addition to being one of the most celebrated athletes in the school's history, he might know a little bit about football, like help with recruiting. He's so well known, might help us get lure some more stars, such a competitive state, Florida. But racism, white supremacy to dominate all. Maybe they'll try and resurrect old Bobby Bowden. Anywho, we did our 3 hours. We'll be here tomorrow for the compensatory call-in, where we will catch up on what has gone down over the past 7 days on the plantation. I did want to make sure I got on the record. I got an absolute F for health and wellness for Thursday. It was such a stressful day, and it just felt like all day long was just run, stress from beginning to end. I had a totally unplanned fast where I did not eat anything. I had water all day long and one 12-ounce ginger beer. That is a non-alcoholic drink. That was it. And it was, I don't even think I grasped, because it was not planned. Like, I grocery shopped. I bought food to prepare for dinner. I was looking for opportunities to eat. And it was that ridiculous of a day on the plantation that when I was finally exhausted and going to bed, like, wow, I really did not eat anything. Absolutely ridiculous. Like, and that can't happen in the system of white supremacy both ways, where either you end up being stressed and just running time and energy and not making time to eat, or it can go the other way. We're stressed, mistreated, and ending up overeating and eating a lot of bad things that does not promote health and wellness. So make sure you find that balance and are taking time to take care of yourself. We need time and energy, vitality to solve the problem. With that, let's be sober. Weekend, holiday season coming up. Let's make sure that we are not getting any unnecessary tickets or problems in all of the mischief. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. In addition to not consuming alcohol, the narcotics, all the rest, let's be buckled up every time we are in a vehicle, passenger, or driver. Let's do all that we can to minimize contact with race soldiers, badge or no. In addition to being buckled up, no cell phone. I'm in that group too. When I'm in a vehicle, no cell phone. If you are driving, just trying to do the little things that we can in a system designed to be unsafe for black people. Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cow signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, brother.
You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.